ask people to speak up.
Do we have anybody attending by phone today?
We do not.
Okay.
All right. All right. Meeting is in session. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Okay, it's June 12th at, we lost our clock too.
Yeah, 9:02
a.m. The Board of Examiners and Nursing Care Institutional Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers meeting is now in session. The Board's mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of the public who seek and use the services of the Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the members of the State of Arizona Board of Examiners, Nursing Care Institution Administrators, and Assisted Living Facility Managers, the Board, to the general public that the Board will hold a regular monthly meeting, board meeting, which is open to the public on Monday, July 2023. A regular board meeting to be held at 1740 West Adams Street, Board Meeting Room C, Phoenix, Arizona. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter, by contacting Jack Confer or through the Arizona Relay Service. Please make your request as early as possible to allow for the arrangement of the accommodation. The Board President reserves the right to change the order of items listed on the agenda, except for matters scheduled at a specific time. Board members may be present by telephone. During the course of the meeting, the Board, upon a majority vote of the quorum of the members, may hold an executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice from the Board's attorney on any matter listed on the agenda pursuant to ARS 38-431.082 and for the purpose of discussion or consideration of confidential material pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382. The executive session will be held immediately after a vote and will not be open to the public. As a reminder, the resident's name is confidential. So during the course of the meeting today, at any time you have to refer to a resident, refer to them by their initials, or use the term resident. Items that are referenced as a consent agenda may be considered as a single action unless a board member removes a specific item for review. Discussion and action separately from other consent agenda items. The board will review and discuss and may take action on the following matters listed on the agenda. The agenda for the June 12, 2023 regular board meeting is as follows. First, we will do roll call.
President Kidder.
Here.
Vice President Archer.
Here.
Member Campbell.
Here.
Member Stephen.
Here.
Member Brimhall.
Here.
Member Felix.
Here.
Member Coford.
Here.
And absent are Member Hill and Member Cook.
All right, very well, thank you. Okay, now we look at Declaration of Conflict of Interest pursuant to ARS 38-503. Does anybody have any conflict of interest?
I do. Chair, and it is going to be Section 7, C-21. And the reason is I have a board in the facility that this individual should be.
All right, this is for Grace Rogers?
Correct.
All right, anybody else?
Can I have that item C-21, correct?
Yes. And it's 2023-NIC-0005.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we move on to call to the public. Persons who want to address the board do not need to request permission in advance, but they do need to complete a request to speak to the board form so that the board is aware that they are here and that they want to speak to the board. Each person who wants to address the board will be given 5 minutes to do so. However, the board may limit the number of persons speaking on each issue to a reasonable number of persons. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02H, the board can discuss or take action only on matters that are listed on the agenda. Board action on issues that are not listed on the agenda is limited to directing staff to study the matter or to schedule the matter for further discussion at a future board meeting. Okay, next we'll move on to review discussion possible action on approval of minutes. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information, ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. So the next item on the agenda is the draft May regular meeting minutes of May 8th, 2023.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the regular minutes for minutes of May 8th, 2023.
Second.
Wally. Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
President Kidder. Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Can I take an action if I'm not even at the meeting?
Yeah. You can just recuse.
I mean, I read them, but I don't know if they're accurate or not accurate. I just wasn't attending the meeting.
Yeah, thank you, President Kidder, members of the board. If it's okay, if you just would recuse from the motion, that would be great. Thank you for bringing that up.
And Member Felix?
Approved, aye.
And Member Coford?
Aye.
All right, very well. Okay, next, section 5, review consideration, possible discussion on request for rehearing or review of decision pursuant to R-433-106. Shais Tahamid, complaint number 2022-NCI-0298.
Is Shaysta Ahmed here? Not present? No? Okay.
All right. Does not appear to be here. Shaysta Ahmed? Okay. Ahmed is not here. Discussion? Jack, do you have a recommendation?
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a request for a review of a prior decision. If you the material start on page 17, we had a hearing on this, issued an order. The respondent was not happy with that order, particularly memory serves a $500 civil penalty, filed a request to have it looked at, and that is what you have on page 17. Representing the state is Mark Harris. He filed a response to that. And can kind of give you the position of the state and maybe a little guidance on what we're here to do today.
All right, Mr. Harris.
President Kidder, members of the board, Director Comber just did a great job summarizing. I got very little
to
add. As you mentioned, in April you held an administrative hearing. You determined that the manager engaged in 4 acts of unprofessional conduct. As a result, you issued an order requiring her to pay a $500 civil penalty and complete 9 hours of continuing education. That order was issued on April 25th. She timely submitted an email to Director Comfer, and in essence, in it, she asked for a retrial on the $500 civil penalty. In her email, she claimed or argued that it would be a financial hardship. I prepared a response, and in essence, in my response, I pointed out that really she's just asking for a rehearing, not a redo. She's asking you to reconsider the imposition of a $500 civil penalty in this case. She didn't get specific as to the financial hardship that reimbursing the state would create, other than mentioning that it would have an impact on her family. With that said, you know, one of the reasons that you can grant a rehearing is if, you know, is if it's determined that one of the penalties imposed is excessive. However, as I pointed out in my response, courts look at what is excessive if it's shocking, and generally if it's maybe outside of your statutory authority. Well, you are well within your statutory authority to assess her a civil penalty and order her to take some continuing education. So with knowing that it's entirely up to you, but that, you know, the penalty imposed in this case, I don't think is excessive. But that doesn't mean that if you think it's the right thing to do, to revisit whether or not it's appropriate to assess her that $500 civil penalty. I'll defer to you on that. I just ask that you treat her the same that you have every other manager in as close to this situation as possible. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
In her appeal, she didn't provide any additional evidence or point out any sort of irregularity or mistake.
Nothing. It was just a multiple sentence email where she indicated that it would just create a financial hardship. She didn't, in her email, she didn't even address the continuing education. She only addressed the civil penalty portion of the board's order.
Okay. Did she sign a position?
No, this was a board order.
Okay.
That came out of a hearing that was held in at your April meeting.
Did we know that she was not coming today?
I have not had any communications with her.
Because if she would have come today and told us her side of the story, maybe we could consider it again. But the no-show really shows me that she really doesn't look there.
If I may, Mr. President, members of the board, Diane Padilla, Assistant Attorney General, serving as your independent legal advisor. Along those lines, this is the respondent's motion under your administrative rules, R4-33-106. She does have the burden here to persuade you. So you can take into consideration failure to show, failure to call in, notify staff, et cetera, in your decision.
Thank you. So if she didn't
have
the consent agreement, would it not go to formal hearing anyway?
It was a formal hearing.
That was the formal hearing.
Yeah, yeah.
There was. And the board issued an order with the continuing education as well as the $500 civil penalty. She filed a timely motion for review or rehearing via an email and just said it would be a financial hardship for the civil penalty of the $500. That's what she's asking the board to consider. So the options here are for the board to grant the motion and to perhaps change the civil penalty from 500, lower it, or do away with it altogether, or the board can also deny the motion for review. And again, because this is her burden and her motion, that she did not show up today to discuss that with you.
It seems reasonable that the assessment was commensurate with what we usually do. My favor would not be to grant this. The only question I have is there a way to set up a payment plan that would maybe ease it so it's not a $500 chunk at one time?
Well, there is. You did give her a period of time. So I don't know if she could just call, you know, the office to say, hey, is it okay if I pay, you know, I'm making it up $125 a month. But according to the order, she just has 3 months in which to pay the administrative civil penalty.
I think in consideration that she has not met the criteria for valid reasons for rehearing, other than that it's a financial burden for her and the fact that she's not in attendance today. I'll move that the board deny the request for rehearing.
Okay, President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Very well, thank you. next we move on to section 6. Review, discussion, and possible action on formal administrative hearing, proposed consent agreements, or motions to deem allegations submitted. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information, or ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. First hearing has been postponed. Second hearing, Bettina Nowak, complaint number 2021, NCI 004521-135. Bettina Nowak, are you in attendance today? Okay, the record reflects she is not in attendance at this time, so I will begin the hearing. All right, today is June 12th, 2023 at 9:17 a.m. In the NCIA boardroom C for the matter dealing with complaint number 2021 NCI 0045 and 21-135 regarding manager Benita Nowak is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona Board of Examiners, the Nursing Care Institution Administrators, and Assisted Living Facility Managers. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been any violations of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted.
Mr. President, if I may, what I believe, and the state can correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe staff too, is although this is a formal hearing, what's also before the board is a motion to deem the allegations. It is my understanding that respondent has failed to respond to the complaint notice of hearing, and this was set for formal hearing today. Being that respondent has failed to show up or call in, the board could also go directly to the motion to deem allegations, again, that she has failed to appear or to respond, and to hear the state's motion, and if one is not here to respond to that, and then either grant or deny.
All right. Thank you. I didn't notice that.
Sure. That's okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, Benita Nowak, still not in attendance, so State Council, would you introduce yourself, please?
Thank you, President, and members of the board, Mark Harris.
Very well. The state filed a motion for the board to deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as admitted. If granted, the board will treat the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing as true and move directly to a determination of what discipline is appropriate in light of the violations. The state will present a brief statement to the board about its request. Then the respondent, if in attendance, can address the board. Please address the remarks. Let's see. She was served timely. That's good. All right, Mr. Harris, you can make your presentation.
Thank you, President Kidder, members of the board. Just as you outlined, the state did file a motion to deem the allegations admitted. Under your statutes, an individual who has served a complaint notice of hearing has 20 days to file an answer. If they don't, one of the remedies available to you is to deem the allegations set forth in the complaint. As your findings of facts and the allegations as your conclusions of law. I'll defer to you, but I would ask that you consider granting the state's motion to deem the allegations. After doing so, then perhaps going into a discussion on what is the appropriate action, disciplinary action to take based upon your adopted findings and conclusions. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. It's a pretty straightforward case. It's a non-compliance case involving a consent agreement. In it, the manager was required to pay a $411 investigative cost penalty and complete 3 hours of continuing education. It's my understanding from staff that she has done neither.
And you've had no contact?
I have not. I can't speak to the state. No.
And this was back in April? Is this lady, okay.
Well, this has been non-compliant. She hasn't responded to anything that we've asked her.
All right. Okay. All right. Another shot. Vanita Nowak, are you present? Let the record reflect that she is still not present in this meeting. At this time, the board will deliberate and rule on the state's motion. We can begin with general discussion and move on to motion. The first motion will be to determine whether to grant the state, grant the state's motion. I move that the board grant the state's motion and deem the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing submitted.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Well, thank you. The board has deemed the allegations in the complaint and notice of hearing is admitted. Is there a motion to adopt the parties and jurisdiction, factual allegations, and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusions of law?
I move that the board adopt the parties and jurisdiction, factual allegations, and the allegations of unprofessional conduct from the complaint and notice of hearing as findings of fact and conclusion of law.
Second.
Wally.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Very well, thank you. Final issue for determination is the appropriate discipline based on the findings of fact and the conclusions of law we have adopted. We'll allow the parties to briefly address the issue first, the state, and then the respondent if she shows up. For the state, Mr. Harris.
President Kidder, members of the board, I don't have a recommendation to make in this case other than I would just ask you to consider the circumstances. In this case, the manager was ordered to pay, reimburse the board for its investigative costs and to take 3 hours of continuing education. She hasn't done either. I'm not sure what you have done in past cases where a manager has not complied with the board order and has not showed up at the hearing on their compliance with the board order. But I ask whatever you think is the appropriate disposition based upon your prior actions in similar cases that you consider doing that in this case.
Well, in other situations where we get no response from the certificate holder or the licensee is, to me, it's a term that deems them as being unmanageable.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that we're not able to govern their actions. So I would recommend for a revocation of the certificate.
Second.
All right, so Ken and Susan, or
Susan
for relegation.
Okay. President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. This concludes this proceeding. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. Thank you all for attending. Thank you. Thank you. All right, next we move on to formal hearing for Teresa Thoma, complaint number 2022 NCI 0223. Teresa Thoma, are you in attendance?
She's scheduled
at 10.
What, 10? Okay.
Who's and that? Another one's at 11. Who took that clock? Right, looking up at the
board. Board, who did the schedule?
Yeah, all right, welcome back to that.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay, then let's move on to review, discussion, and possible action in the complaint case. Complaint cases. Again, the board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.0383 to receive legal advice. The name of a resident is confidential and is public session. Board members, staff, and the licensee should refer to the resident as resident or use the resident's initials. The board may block votes as desired. Consent agenda items may be considered as a single action or block vote. The board may review an item from consent agenda for discussion. I want to jump ahead to item number 2, Amador Ortega, complaint 2022 NCI 0586. Please come on up.
Good morning. I'm Cynthia Pertain here for Mr. Ortega.
Mr. President, the material start on page 111.
Complaint 2022-NCI-0586. The licensee is Amador Ortega, who is present here today with his attorney. And on August 31st and September 1st of 2002, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at the Desert Marigold Senior Living of Tempe. The compliance inspection identified 4 deficiencies in 3 areas. One of the deficiencies was a repeat deficiency. During that same time frame, they also conducted 8 complaint investigations at the same facility. The complaint investigations identified 5 deficiencies in 4 different areas with 1 repeat deficiency. Ms. Ortega was notified of the complaint, but did not provide a written response. And on approximately November 25th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action on both the compliance inspection and the complaint investigations. Concerning the compliance inspection, they imposed a civil money penalty of $250 for 1 substantiated repeat violation. And concerning the complaint investigations, they imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 2 substantiated violations. One of those violations was a repeat, and Mr. Ortega is here today with the assistance of his attorney to address the matter with the board.
All right, thanks, Phil. All right, well, thank you for being here today. First off, how long have you been the manager at this facility?
I've been the manager, and it's with my first facility, but I've been the manager there since August of 2020.
All right. And why is it that you did not respond in writing to the board?
So actually, as I heard him say that, I felt like I actually had responded to the board, that I had received the documentation, but I'd have to pull out my phone and show the documentation if we had it. So the survey was done August 31st, September 1st of 2020. Almost a year later, which is now, is the first time I in getting to get in front of you guys for it, but I do see that we did respond to the board here.
To the NCI board or the Department of Health Services?
Residential long-term care, yeah, DHS.
Okay, so that's the confusion. Is that
and also the board. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sorry, no, please.
We do have a response date of January 5th, 2023 that I don't have any transmittal information to show that it was submitted, that we thought that it had been submitted.
I do have a note here that Ms. Ortega requested an extension on December 27th. It was given until January 13th of 2020 to provide a response, but it doesn't appear that a response was provided. If it was, it wasn't.
So you said you sent a correspondent with the resident for care, which is DHS?
Yes.
Okay. So you understand there's 2 different entities here. The DHS regulates the facility conduct, and our board here regulates professional conduct. So you got notice from our board, and so we would have expected you to also correspond directly with this board regarding your certification.
We felt there, he had not only responded to DHS, but also to you guys on January
5th. All right, we don't have any evidence of that. Was that via email or?
Mr. President, maybe I can shed a little light on this. It looks like you actually emailed me on December 23rd, and I responded. I sent a copy of the complaint and gave you an extension on the response, but as far as the system, I don't have any response document. I didn't receive it. Just let me know.
And again, my apologies if I didn't respond to the board as I should have. I know I sent in a response. The response is here in front of us. If I accidentally sent it not to the board and instead to DHS, I apologize for that.
Taking this a moment of growth, but in the event of any sort of future correspondence from the board, please respond to the board directly. All right. So you said you took over in August of 2020.
Yes, sir.
Shows your certification date of September 1st of 2020. Was there another manager in place at the time of the survey?
So this survey was 2022.
On both in 2022.
Yes.
Okay. August 31st and September 1st. Okay. All right, let's talk about their repeat deficiency here. One is if the manager failed to ensure caregiver documentation and services providing the resident's medical record for six sample residents, and that's a repeat from April 7th of 2022. What efforts were you trying to implement from the April inspection to prevent this from happening again, and what happened?
Yeah, so POC charting, this one's talking about the actual documentation on the system, correct?
I can't see here.
Services provided, yes. Right?
Okay.
Yeah,
so POC charting, so ALF manager, first time ALF manager, technically licensed, became the ALF manager September 1st, 2020. And so I've gone through three wellness directors there. I truthfully had, until the previous year, even though I had gotten my ALF manager's license, I had pretty little understanding of what the ALF rules and regs as a whole were. And so going in, I had my first survey in 2021, my second survey, which was this one where I sit in front of the board today. In our first survey, our POC charting percentage was averaging about 25%, 40%. I didn't know it was as deficient as I had assumed. This last year, I changed over wellness directors, changed over staffers. We added an operations manager, and our POC charting had increased up to 83%. Our goal and our target still today is north of 95%. And we're close, but we're not exactly where we need to be. We're still at about 91%. And so my wellness director had been an experienced wellness coordinator at another entity that had come over for us and said, had identified that this was one of our biggest opportunities even before we actually saw this as a deficient practice. And so fortunately for us, we are at 91%, but we're not where we want to be, which is north of 95%. And so my wellness director spoke to me and said, hey, I don't think we have enough staff to actually do this appropriately, and so what do we need to do different? And so we used to have one wellness coordinator, and now we have two wellness coordinators. And so now they monitor that system daily, and they help with efforts. We still struggle. Some of our caregivers, English is a second language. They take 2 weekend courses, get certified as a caregiver, and we do a lot of training with them, but we've also found that it's been really hard to retain really good people with us. And so we just kind of fall in that practice. So we continue to hire and continue to find people, but we're still trying to figure out ways how to be better and retain more people with us. Yes, sir.
How large is your facility, and what was the census at the time of the survey?
I can't recall the census at the time of the survey. I want to say that we've hovered for the last year around 60. The size of our campus is 72. It's a 48-bed directed care and then 24-bed supervision.
Well, and how many hours do you spend there a week?
I'm there 40 to 50 hours a week.
So you don't cover a second facility?
So I run a CCRC, so IAL SNF. And so on my campus physically, I'm probably there 60, maybe 70 hours a week, but I do have an operations manager that we just hired. She's actually going to ALF Administrator's License School starting today. She's there this week.
So you do have a skilled nursing facility on campus as well?
Yes, sir, we do.
And you're the administrator of that?
Yes, sir.
Can I clarify something? So this says that you failed to ensure services provided to the resident were documented.
Yeah.
Based on your testimony, would you say that the activities actually occurred or didn't occur? Did they occur and failed to be documented, or didn't occur so they weren't documented?
Yeah, so truthfully, I because of the complaints from loved ones and other family members, I get those to the table, and I will communicate those. Since I got my new wellness director, Roel, he's been incredible. I used to see probably 6-7 complaints a month from residents and loved ones. I now see one maybe every 90 days. And so my best belief that if did the services were provided. But again, I also understand that if it's not documented, can I prove that it happened? I definitely understand that. I firmly believe they were, because of the amount of complaints that I receive on my grievance system that I have. But I can't prove that they were.
So you've taken action to hire a wellness director. What does that do for you as the manager? Because wellness director is not somebody that we know as a title. We don't discipline them. We don't license them. So all of this still falls to you as a manager. How are you overseeing that wellness director?
No, absolutely. It does fall on me still. Everything that happens on my campus falls on me, absolutely. I did hire the wellness director. Well, I already had the wellness director, but I replaced that one. I actually hired an operations manager, which is the gal who's actually getting licensed this week. She's actually getting her ALF manager's license. And so my goal is to actually, what I saw is that I was being spread a little bit too thin between my campus. And so I said, hey, this doesn't look or feel right. And so I actually hired this gal who's going to be, again, certified hopefully here in the next week or so. Because even though I'm spending 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week on my campus, being split between those kind of CCRC, I knew it wasn't right. So between hiring them and then hiring a second wellness coordinator, so I have my wellness director, and then I have two wellness coordinators now. I used to only have one. And then one thing the organization actually did as well is we actually, for the first time, hired a full-time clinical resource for us. And they help oversee three of our AL campuses.
I'm finding it a little confusing here, so bear with me. So this sounds like a very complex campus. It's got all the elements. Your current, at the time of this survey and the deficiencies that were found, you were acting as the manager of the assisted living, the administrator of the skilled nursing, and the running of the CCRC.
Yes, sir.
You were doing all three.
I have been. Samantha's been with me for the last close to a year now.
And tell me how you, with that complex operation, run your quality assessment program. How do you identify, and what have you identified as your issues that you need to stay on top of on a regular basis, and how do you document that?
Yeah, so I've learned really early on delegation of duties is really important. And so as much as I want to take everything on, I also have to depend on my team. As far as quality of care issues, I would say it's probably multifaceted. So both when it comes to clinical, insurance partners, if they ever have any quality of care issues, grievances, we have a grievance system that we take in play. Both for our residents, their loved ones, and even our staff, when it comes to whether that's supplies or staffing ratios or if that's service. We do a QAPI once a month on our campus with our leadership team to help identify any of those deficient practices and maybe what we need to do. Through that process is actually how we identify that we needed a second wellness coordinator.
So how do you explain then your 6 of 6 no residency agreements that are appropriate, 6 of 6 no service plans signed off, a repeat agreement, a repeat deficiency on ensuring caregiver documentation on the medical records, and you're telling me you have a quality assurance program? I find that hard to believe.
We do have a quality assurance program. Is the quality assurance program where it needs to be? I'm not quite sure that that's where it needs to be, but as we did have deficient practices, we did transition over liaisons. My liaison didn't have any experience, and they were they were doing some practices that weren't the best practices.
Saying they didn't, you're accountable. I heard that earlier. It stops with me, but the person I had in charge didn't have any experience.
Right.
That doesn't seem to make much sense to me.
Yeah, so doing all the training, I used to be a liaison, and so the practices from SNF on the items that you need are different than the practices on what you need for an ALF. And so I have a really firm understanding of what SNF items you need to be able to assess and bring in a patient into a skilled nursing facility. And so on the assisted living side, one of those practices that you mentioned was, so on the SNF, does the patient need continuous care? We would circle yes. A practice that the Department of Health actually helped us identify was when we were getting these orders, we were actually still circling yes to those orders coming into assisted living when the reality was no, they didn't need 24-hour continued assistance. And so that was one of the practices that we did identify and that we right-sized. Again, that's my experience now being an assisted living administrator for all of us. And I've had to learn the hard way on that.
At what point did you hire your two wellness coordinators and an operations director?
So Samantha, she's a blessing. Samantha was my liaison back in August. Back from August 2020, she transitioned over to my operations manager last year. I want to say it might have been last year. It was probably this year in January, actually. It was this year in January, and then we've transitioned liaisons twice since her. Samantha's absolutely thorough, really, really good, and I believe in who she is and what she does. And the two liaisons that we hired post Samantha were the ones that these practices were done efficiently.
So is she the one that's responsible for your improvement in your compliance percentages that you mentioned?
Yeah, herself and my new wellness director, absolutely.
I ask a quick question.
Yes.
So help me understand how you're monitoring, you know, like the med management resident agreements, because the resident agreement, there could be a change of power of attorney or who signed, and service plans for sure, because you have, 72 directed care, so that's every 90 days. So my concern is, how are you monitoring that on an ongoing basis?
Awesome. Yeah, so my wellness director, he actually has some experience from a different assisted living. So we have a meeting once a week. It's on Thursdays. So every Thursday, no matter what happens, it happens right after stand-up. And we do that meeting, and we do it with our
Mercy Care, a long-term care provider. We invite our UHC and our banner providers, but Mercy Care is the most consistent with it. We invite our operations manager, and then we also actually invite our rehab, outpatient rehab team that we have on campus to help identify some of these issues. And then also on our stand-up agenda, we have a section there for our service plans and service plans updates that we talk through to help us identify those. Again, am I saying that it's a perfect practice? No.
Because my concern is what I'm hearing is, I mean, I think it's wonderful, and I think it's I'm very happy to hear that you found some qualified staff members to come in, because it is very difficult. But my concern is, if one staff member was not there for a month, how are we going to take responsibility to keep this going? Because you've already had a citation from last year that we're helping you not to get another citation this year. And so that's something I need to make sure that you have an index within, like, a system within the computer system saying every month these names pop up. And so if someone's sick or someone's out, we have a backup system. I'm not relying on a human being. I'm relying on a system, and I check it off, you know, like the service plans. I mean, we have a check and balance that we send out to the families or to the insurance carrier. So we have a check and balance. Once a year we go through the client's, you know, file to make sure their TV, everything's there. So they have a check and balance, and you can sit here and show that to the surveyors saying, this is what I'm going to do, because what I'm hearing you say, I have this person, but if that person wasn't there, we're going to be back in the same position that we're here right now, I feel.
Yeah, and I thank you. I understand where you're coming from. No, that's good. We do use PCC. We do use an electronic system. We're actually just forgetting the name of the system, but we're actually, for as far as HR records, we're actually currently going to like an e-system for all of our files that will give us exactly that. And then our clinical resources, named Ron, he started up with us full-time 6, maybe 8 months ago. And so he does do like a medical clinical systems audit that he does, and he sends that out for us, again, once a month as a resource. To help identify, he comes into the building, pulls five random HR files, pulls our most recent admission files, and then 3 old files as well, and then he kind of sends that back out to us and says, this is what we found.
So you have somebody from your regional office, your corporate office, that comes in and does like a mock survey for you?
Yes, sir. Once a month.
Once a month.
Who is your corporate office?
Bandera Healthcare.
And tell me a little bit about them, just so I kind of can figure out what that means.
Yeah, so we are a provider here in Arizona. We have about 35 skilled nursing facilities in the state of Arizona. We have 3 or 4 assisted livings in Arizona. We're affiliated with Ensign Services. There are support system for IT and other leadership opportunities. And then we are actually also affiliated with Pennant, who is a larger assisted living group here in the state of Arizona.
So you're very large, very sophisticated, lots of corporate resources, and yet all the employees fell through the cracks, and you said, well, I couldn't get this person hired, or I have a person that isn't qualified. What's your corporation doing to give you the resources you need to do the job you say you know you had to do but didn't do?
Yeah, and so we were strictly a skilled nursing facility, like organization, pretty much up to about close to 2 years ago. And so 2 years to now, we've acquired 4 assisted livings. And so this has been a big practice for learning opportunity for myself, and I would say for the organization when it comes to that. That's one of the reasons why we hired the gentleman, Ron. He's our clinical resource for our institutions. We didn't have one for close to 2 years, and so I found like that's what the organization helped push and help support us with. We do some other things with like Pennant and some other out-based organizations to help them help support us. And but again, there's nothing like having your own team. And so, I felt like the organization has helped us
quite a lot, but when it comes to the ALF realm, we're still rather new.
So did I hear you right that you said I had a quality system that was working within the skilled area? That seems to be your strongest area for you. And that you're learning assisted living because we're moving into that area. And we found out that some of the ways we checked quality and kept on top of the quality needs of our residents and patients weren't the same under the rules and regulations of assisted living. There are two different rule books.
Yes, sir.
And you kind of overlooked that until it was brought to your attention by the state.
Yes. I didn't overlook it completely, but I did see that I did overlook a lot of the things that I assumed were very similar to SNF when they were.
I have two questions. One, part of the confusion maybe for some of us is we keep saying we, and we all understand the teamwork that it takes. Ultimately, it needs to be you. I, you. My second question is, well, that wasn't my question. So I guess my question would be, what have you specifically done? Not the corporate, not the people who come in, what have you done? And the second question is, what continuing education or what have you done to continue your movement forward in assisted living, because there's a different monster altogether.
Yeah, and so what's great about Bender Healthcare is we're individually run and operated, and so I made the choice of hiring Samantha, who's going to be my operations manager. I speak to her really highly because I truly, truly believe she's going to be incredible. But getting her as my operations manager, I decided to make the choice of hiring a second wellness coordinator. And then as far as the continuing education, I'm a member of Leading Age. And so I just went to Leading Age a couple of weeks ago. And so just really just learning that I need to rub more elbows and shoulders with partners in the assisted living realm and learning from them and their practices. I started to do that a lot more than I had in the past.
Is your operations manager that you just hired a certified manager?
So I hired her in August of 2020. She's going this week. She's actually in class right now for her assisted living manager's license. And so she's going to be licensed hopefully in the next week or two.
Sounds like we could all use a few Samanthas around our facilities too. Congratulations.
I have a question. Are you planning to put Samantha's license on the wall and take yours off?
That's communication that Samantha and I have had. I would love to do that with and for her, if she's agreeable. If she isn't, I think there's just a couple lines of discussions on what ownership is and what that looks like and making sure that we have a good system in place so that Samantha's been an owner from day one when it comes to everything that happens in our operation, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 5 in the morning. But that's my goal with her, and so I believe that she and I will see eye to eye on that. Yes.
All right. Counsel, do you have any thoughts you'd like to express from resulting from your investigation in support of this case?
Well, I will say that I hope that you all received the plans of correction. I know you didn't receive the response, but all the plans of correction were provided, and the department was satisfied. Mr. Ortega has taken responsibility for all of the deficiencies, and as you can tell from listening to him, he's taken all of it very seriously and is working to make corrections and to make sure that these deficiencies don't happen again and to correct any practices that led to those deficiencies. And I think that is what you want in an assisted living manager, someone who's taking ownership and responsibility and moving the practice forward so that the practice is always improving and that we don't have these deficiencies in the future. And that's what he's done here. So, you know, a lot of this is learning experience, but he's got qualified people there to help him. And that's another thing, is knowing when you need a team and that you can trust your team. And that's what he is working towards and had done before as well. I don't think that this is worthy of discipline. Because he's made these corrections, there were no patients who were harmed. Some of the materials that the department asked for, they were actually available, and he tried to provide them after the survey, and they would not accept them. I know you don't have the response, so you don't have the details of that, but there was no patient harmed in any of this. Not that you need a patient to be harmed before you take discipline, but that is something that I hope you would take into account, that you don't have the benefit of knowing since you didn't get the response.
Okay. All right. Well, in consideration of what we've heard and what Mr. Ortega has attested to today, the fact that none of the deficiencies were any sort of resident care issues, it's all documentation. I would be feeling that it really doesn't, and that is the fact that he has new staff, he's developing programs, he has a consultant that comes in and there's a kind of a one-over-one and oversees his operations and does quality check. I would be willing to provide a letter of concern. I can run that motion up and see how that does. All right.
We're discussing.
Did we get a motion and a second?
That wasn't a motion, it was a conversation.
Oh, I thought you said send that up. Okay.
Are you sending that up?
Yeah, I'd like to send it up.
Okay.
So that's a motion to, for letter of concern.
Second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
No.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Nay.
It's a tie. Okay. Wait. No. Sorry. Motion passes.
5-2.
Yep, okay. 5-2.
What is the board's concern? The manager failed to maintain accurate medical records.
Motion passes 4-3 for letter of concern.
All right. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, real quick, before we move on to the next section. Yeah, I'm jumping ahead to staff recommendations for dismissal. I've got a couple of managers that are here to be represented by council.
For the dismissals?
Yeah, is there a quick question? Any of these dismissals, does anybody need to want to pull them and have them heard?
The only one that has a conflict is 21.
You've got people that signed in for one or two dismissals.
No, I'm not going to vote on the whole thing right now. I just want to deal with the two that my council is at present at this time.
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right, so here is the everybody's okay with the potential dismissals. I'd like to just single out Ted Glazebrook.
Yes.
For our young counsel here today. The board is, it'll be C9. The board is probably going to vote for dismissal. That's how you're listed on the agenda. Do you guys wish to speak before the board at this time? Okay. All right. So, let's vote on that one and dispose of it.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion to dismiss complaint number 2022 NCI 0603 for Ted Glazebrook.
Second.
That Wally? Yes. President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coburn?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, your case is dismissed. Okay, there you go. Thank you. All right, the second one is Peggy Ewan. Okay, you also have counsel here. You are also listed two different complaint cases, 0056 and 0003. They're also listed on the dismissed, to be dismissed list. Do you wish to speak before the board at this time?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, then I make a motion to dismiss tab number 20, C20, and C32.
Second.
Okay.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. I appreciate your attendance here today. Thank you very much. All right, now can I do another hearing? Okay. Give me a second. Sorry, Mark, just kind of fragmented for you. I'm going to go. Oh, wow. I just like to see you exercise.
I appreciate that.
All right, next we move to formal hearing. Teresa Escola, complaint number 2022, MCI 0223. Teresa Thoma, please come on up. From our Solicitor General, since the manager is here, are we still going through the motion to proceed?
That is completely up to you, Mr. President, and the board. It's my understanding that motions to deem are typically when the respondent has not responded whatsoever.
Correct.
So since she is here, I would recommend that going
through the process. All right, would you introduce yourself for the record?
I'm Teresa Coma.
All right, thanks for being here today. Appreciate it. All right, this is June 12th, 10:05 a.m. in the NCI Boardroom C, where the matter dealing with formal hearing for Teresa L. Thoma, complaint number 2022, NCI 0223, scheduled to be heard by the Board of Arizona Board of Examiners of Nursing Care Institution Administrators and Assisted Living Facility Managers. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the Board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for this hearing are, we have a roll call, please.
President Kidder?
Here.
Vice President Archer?
Here.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Here.
Member Brimhall?
Aye. Sorry.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Here.
Member Coford?
Here.
All right, very well. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing. The respondent's answer is when it was filed and all pleadings are recorded. Okay, did you get your packet? Did you provide any documentation for the board?
Ask her again, sir.
All right. Ms. Selma, did you provide any documentation regarding your case to this court?
Well, I came the first time for the court hearing.
All right, but did you submit anything for this hearing in writing?
I did at the beginning. Oh, for this one? No.
Okay. All right. So to be clear, that you did not submit any written documentation or exhibits for this hearing. All right. So with our appearances, will the state identify yourself, please?
Thank you, President Kidder, members of the board. Mark Harris on behalf of the state.
Okay, very well. And Ms. Thoma, would you introduce yourself one more time for the record, please?
Teresa Thoma.
Okay, and is everybody ready to proceed?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Thoma, are you represented by an attorney?
No.
Okay. And you are ready to proceed as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you understand that you have the right to be represented by an attorney?
Yes.
Okay. The law does not appoint counsel or provide appointment for counsel. If you want, that would be your responsibility to secure and pay for that. You understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you are waiving your right to such representation at this hearing?
Yes.
Okay, very well. Of course, you may seek legal counsel at any subsequent proceeding, such as an appeal. Okay. You understand that this hearing is your opportunity to present your testimony and evidence on your behalf?
Yes.
Okay. You understand that should you appeal the board's decision, the record you make at this hearing today will be evidence considered in a court determining whether the board's decision was proper? Okay. All right, is the state ready to proceed?
President Kidder, members of the board, I am.
Okay. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. Then the respondent shall present their case. The burden of proof in an administrative hearing is the preponderance of the evidence, which means sufficient evidence to establish that a fact is more likely true than not. After he hears all the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. Okay, now swearing in of the witnesses. All persons who are called as witnesses in this matter, including the respondent, please raise your right hand. So the film for the state. If you raise your right hand, we'll get you sworn in. Okay, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Okay, very well, thank you. Okay, before hearing testimony from witnesses, are there any other preliminary matters the board should consider? And does the state wish to make an opening statement?
President Kidder, members of the board, I do. I'll ask for your indulgence, because this is I'm going to ask kind of like a hybrid proceeding because this is really a one-issue case. Back in January, Ms. Thoma entered into a consent agreement with the board. There was one term to the consent agreement, and that was to pay an investigative costs of about $550. She had 3 months to do so. She did. That's why we're here. We issued the complaint notice of hearing because she failed to comply with the terms of the consent agreement. Just speaking to Ms. Thoma a moment ago, she doesn't dispute that, but she doesn't believe that, you know, she owes anything. So I really think the hearing just kind of comes down to you listening to her. Again, the one fact is not in dispute in this case. She hasn't paid the civil penalty.
Has she met other terms of the consent agreement?
It was just that one term.
Just the one, okay.
Did she sign a consent agreement?
Yes, and I believe that staff passed out the exhibits, and a copy of the consent agreement should be State's Exhibit 1. I do want to apologize. I miscounted, and I think a couple of the board members may have to share their exhibit packets, and I apologize for that inconvenience.
So it was signed January 6, 2023.
So is this where you need to make it more sure?
I'm sorry?
Is this where we need to make it more sure?
Well, I think you may want to just give her an opportunity to address you. She is under oath.
Okay.
All right, yeah, let's just go to that. Let's talk about that. Why is it there you feel that you don't have to pay this?
I feel I don't have to pay it because I don't own the building. And for 2 years, I kept telling him he needed to replace the hot water heater. So, and he didn't. So I got dinged for it, and I just don't feel it's my responsibility to make, you know, to go out and purchase these hot water heaters when I don't own the building. Yes, I manage it, and I kept telling him, you know, because I've been in that building for, well, this year is 18 years. So I knew they needed to be replaced.
Do you own the assisted living business?
No. No, I just manage it.
All right, so you're just a salaried or wage hourly employee?
Yes.
And you're not part of the ownership in any way?
No.
Or sorry?
No.
Are you still active as the manager?
Mm-hmm. And he finally replaced the hot water heaters. So this year they were good.
Is that what you got written up for with the hot water
heater?
Yes. Heater? And that's the only?
No, and there was the medication closet was unlocked. But that was due to a caregiver, and we had the gate up, but she broke it. It's just a long, long process of her. Sorry.
So how about the disaster plan?
I had that, but because it wasn't worded the way she wanted it, I got dinged for it. This year it was fine, the same thing.
So the hot water tank,
there's three hot water heaters in the house.
This one was bad, three were bad, tell me.
One side was.
Yeah.
And then the second time, the other side of the house was.
I apologize. Just a quick point of order. The consent agreement's already been signed. It's in order. Those facts have already been litigated. We are here solely for violation of board order. So I just, if we can just focus on that, very much appreciate it.
I'm just going to go down that rabbit hole. Right. Don't worry.
All right. So, she's signed the consent agreement saying that she would comply. And she did not. So if she had a problem with it at that point, she shouldn't have signed the consent agreement.
I've tried to. And I didn't know on these, just like the paperwork now, I didn't know. I just signed them. I wasn't sure what they were really.
Would this be a financial hardship if you paid the $550 and then just ask your owner?
For one, I don't have it.
Well, what if we put you on a payment plan?
I guess that's fine.
And then you
still
have to ask
it.
The owner for the money back.
Because he ain't going to do it.
Well, the thing is,
this is my argument from before. From the first time.
Your argument is really not with this board. You signed, entered into a consent agreement, which you signed agreeing to pay this amount of money. So your argument about having to pay that money would be between you and the owner of your home.
Can I be put on a payment plan then?
Yeah, you can work that out with board staff and ask.
Would we have to then put a motion in place and extend?
Mr. President, members of the board, this board hasn't dealt with violation of board order a lot in the last 2 years. I don't have a recommendation for you, but in the hierarchy of things that you deal with, I would think that this would be a little more serious than an initial deficiency, statement of deficiency from DHS. This board issued an order, and it's not been followed. So, payment plan fine, but you still have to address that allegation of violation of board order in my mind. And I'm not trying to sway the board in any one way, but you're setting precedence here, because if you deal with this violation of an order in the future, you're setting precedent for future orders and potentially violation of those. So just keep that in mind when you're deliberating. Thank you.
So the original amount was $554, and it was due to be paid in April?
Yes. And you signed the consent agreement but didn't respond to this next part, which is today. Did you send in a response for today?
No, she did not.
No, I didn't get anything to respond to it.
Did this notice appear?
Well, I think it's pretty clear. She owes us the money. Any argument she has about having to spend that money is going to be with another entity. She signed for it. She's saying she didn't understand it, but that's, again, it's not our responsibility. It's her responsibility to understand any document that she signs. All right. Council, what is our option in terms of any sort of additional penalty because she didn't meet the deadline and she didn't complete the consent agreement?
That would be up to the board's discretion. Violation of a board order could be anywhere from issuing a letter of concern all the way up to revocation. So,
all right. So, yeah, this is a very serious matter. So I think at minimum, she violated an order. So we could assess an additional civil monetary penalty, or is that going to solve the problem, or do we need to take further action?
Do we put another consent agreement in place then?
No, Mr. President, members of the board, it seems like we may be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, and that's my fault. With kind of the hybrid approach. The first thing that I would ask is that the board consider accepting into evidence States Exhibits 1 and 2. States Exhibit 1 is the consent agreement, and States Exhibit 2 is just a copy of the complaint notice of hearing that was issued for this morning's proceedings.
All right, any objection? Hearing none, Exhibits 1 and 2 are so admitted.
Thank you. And then with respect to, if I could ask the board members to take a look at States Exhibit 2. And if you're in agreement, perhaps you can adopt the factual allegations as your findings of fact.
All right, can you see that again, sir?
Sure. If the board would consider perhaps adopting the factual allegations set forth in the complaint notice of hearing as your findings of facts in this case.
Okay. All right. Let me get it back on track here. You have anything else to say on your behalf at this point? Okay. All right. And Morris, do you have any additional witnesses?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to close the evidentiary portion of this, and we can move on. Okay. Having heard the testimony, reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with general discussion or entertain motions. The first item for the discussion is findings of fact. The complaint makes parties and jurisdiction at paragraph 1 to 3 and factual allegations at paragraph 1 to 2.
Mr. President, if I may, it's paragraphs 1 through 5.
1 through 5, okay. And for factual allegations as well?
Parties and jurisdiction are 1 through 3. Factual allegations 1 through 5.
1 through 5, okay. The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations. I move that the board finds the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence the parties and jurisdiction, the factual allegations and complaint. I move that the board adopts these allegations as the board's finding of the fact.
Second.
And Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Very well. The second item for discussion is the conclusions of law. The complaint makes conclusions of law. Next paragraphs.
1 through 2.
1 through 2. The board will now discuss whether the findings of fact, which we have just adopted, constitute a violation of violations under state rules. I move that the board finds that the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and rules set forth in the complaint, and that the board adopt those alleged violations as the conclusions of law.
Second.
Kevin Susan, second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, very well. Final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to ARS 36-446.07. So that we can dismiss the case if, in the opinion of the board, the information is without merit, issue a letter of concern, decree of censure, or probation with specific terms and conditions, impose a civil penalty of any amount, not more than $500 per violation, suspension, or revocation. For discussion and preference. If there is a board votes for an additional civil monetary penalty to not exceed $500, she was still owed from the original order.
Yeah.
Plus the addition.
That's correct. The original order was for the administrative costs of the investigation.
Yes, that's right.
This would be a separate penalty for the violation of the board order.
All right.
Would it be appropriate to offer some education in ethics, for example, or maybe a better understanding of the role of the manager and responding to this more appropriately?
Does the ethics cover that piece, or does it cover the piece of only about the facility operations?
Yeah.
I think an additional $250 civil monetary penalty will get her attention that she has to comply with an agreement. That she's fine. She acknowledges. Well, as we can't deny this fact, she's agreed to it.
So you're $250.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to impose a civil monetary penalty in the amount of $250. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ken and Rich.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
No.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Nay.
Member Felix.
Nay.
Member Coford.
Aye.
4-3. Motion passes.
Okay. All right, this concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. This concludes this matter. Thank you for attending today.
I apologize, President, and members of the board. My understanding was the motion was to assess an additional $250 in civil penalties for failing to comply with the board order. Did you want to put some time frames in there, not only for the $250, but also for the underlying, you know, civil recovery of investigative costs?
All right, I will amend my motion to for the $250 to be paid within 60 days. That should be amply generous.
Do you want to maybe hear from the manager?
Sure.
Can you pay it within 60 days?
On top of the 500?
Yeah, 554. That was 554.
Yeah. No. I could probably pay all of it within 6 months. I live payday to payday.
How about I amend the motion to pay for the 554? It needs to be paid within 60 days. And the additional 250 days has to be paid within the 6 months. Are you willing to offer that? Okay.
Yeah, that's the motion.
Who seconded the motion?
Member Stephen.
You want to motion the amendment? All right, so $250 civil monetary penalty.
Roll call.
To be paid within 6 months. The original $554 from the original order must be paid within 60 days. Okay. All right, to a vote.
And will I get something in the mail?
Yes.
So
board staff will.
Where to send it?
Just to writing in the correspondence.
Okay. President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
And Member Campbell?
No.
Member Brimhall?
No.
Member Felix?
No.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 4-3.
All right. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to written order and served on the parties. Parties have further appeal rights, and that will be explained in the board's orders. Board staff will be in touch. And at this time, we'll take a 10-minute break. And I would like to pull tab 2 and tab 19 at the moment. And I make a motion for dismissal of all the rest of the items that have not already been addressed. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 through 18, 21 through 31 and 33, 32.
Can you do 22 and pull out 21?
Let's see.
Go all the way to 18,
19. Oh, 21 will be as a second.
Did you pull out 18 and 19? No, just 19, just 19.
And so 2, 19, and 21.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so motion is to dismiss all but those three.
I second that.
And Lawley second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well, thank you. Okay, and then Becky, can you step back for a second? I make a motion to dismiss tab 21, Grace Leathers, complaint number 2023 NCI-0005.
Second.
Member Wally.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Abstain. Member Felix?
Aye.
And Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very good, thank you. Okay, and I understand, is Jana Downs, or Jania Downs here today? Okay, the manager is not here. She has a case from tab number 2 and tab number 19.
Are you going to go to that one, Mr. President?
Yeah.
Where is number 2? Oh, I see. I'm sorry. They're both.
Is Ms. Downs available to address the board?
No. If anybody wishes to discuss these two cases?
Do you wish to talk to the board?
I sure do.
Okay. Would you like to come up here?
Sure. Do I get my 5 minutes?
Yes.
Well, my name is Nicole Marquez. I'm the respondent for this complaint. Or not respondent. I am the person who filed this complaint. I'm just going to read what I wrote to you guys. I've been talking back and forth with Mr. Conker a couple of times. But from 2020 to present, Goodyear Park Senior Villas has been written up for 86 citations, 86, since Downs, a.k.a. Burks Brown, as well as her assisted living manager or administrator, had been oversight. 21 citations for administration, 15 for direct care, 19 for personnel, 11 for emergency and safety standards, 9 residency rights and service claims, 7 medication, 3 for environmental problems, 1 for food service. Of the 2 buildings my mom was housed in, 35 citations were given, and that doesn't include the intent to revoke a non-licensed manager.
In January 2021, publication of Park Senior Villas called Highlights lists Downs, a.k.a. Burks Brown, Burks with an E, assistant living manager. However, prior to that, she was the health and wellness director for 2020. And according to her LinkedIn, she has been the manager since 2019. If we go by publication of their highlights, that is 407 days of a non-licensed manager being on premises. Per Arizona Legislature Statute 36-446.09, violations, classifications, and any person who manages, directs, controls, and operates a nursing care institution or assisted living facility without a current and valid license or certificate as required by this article, who otherwise violates any provision in this article, is guilty of a Class 2 misdemeanor. Each day of violation shall constitute a separate offense. That's significant. Does the same statute apply also to the assisted living administration, the administrator that holds license? Per Open Corporates, this company made $36.7 million in 2022. Park Senior Villas had such a stellar year last year, the administration staff got to go to Disneyland. And according to several employees who were on record, stated they also received cars as a bonus. By all means, let's reward the individual responsible for 86 citations. Never mind the fact that the residents are left alone or with 2 to 3 caregivers for all 7 buildings at night, and most are assisted caregivers or assistant caregivers without a CPR certification, which Arizona Department of Health can also corroborate, and no fingerprint clearance cards. This is unacceptable. My mom was neglected, abused, threatened, intimidated, kept from outside access, unbathed, unattended, housed with 2 mentally ill persons in the building that were not Alzheimer's or memory care related. She was denied access to her family. She was denied access to outside. I was denied access for 2 weeks while being her POA out of a guise to whether or not to get her to comply with their rules. My mom's social security information was used to set up a landline phone and an apartment rental, which was traced back to the employees back at Park Senior Villas. My mom was over-medicated, under-medicated, treated like trash. This doesn't even come close to covering all the things that have happened. But to round it all off, Park Senior Villas took a photocopy of my mom's signature and placed it on residency documents and also forged my signature. This is documented by Arizona Department of Health. Since Mrs. Downs, a.k.a. Brown, Burks, whatever her name is, has been at Park Goodyear, there's been 27 calls for police response. 27. This is during her tenure. 2 for fraud and forgery, 2 for abuse, 1 for theft, and 6 death investigations. This board in May 2022, after Arizona Department of Health verified in March and April 2022, Downs and her family members and employees lied about her license and her license verification and were caught red-handed without a license, and yet this board gave her a license in May 2022. And if you don't think that makes me angry, it sure as hell does. Moral turpitude? Are you freaking kidding me? Never mind the fact that the same individual under her nursing license gave false name and information to police when she fled her job in Scottsdale and had to stand in front of her nursing board to account. Or how about the multiple filings of bankruptcy or maybe law violations that encompass an entire digital page on Arizona's court records? It's time for this board to reconcile. In addition, additional Park Senior Villas, they had over 55 citations for the whole company. Total of 141 citations for the entire company. I'm going to say it again, $36.5 million. That means these citations, which are still continuing into 2023 for the same offense, rests with the assisted living administrator as well as the managers. And granted, these citations are just a snapshot in time. I don't want to waste any more of your time by going line by line or for what each citation represents, as it's all documented for this board through the Arizona Department of Health Services, which did a great job, by the way. Thank you. Some of which goes into great detail in 2022, which was after Downs received license by this board. After. And while Arizona Department of Health failed to investigate many claims during COVID, I assure this board that had this had been documented and available and not been purged or lost or gone missing, or had Arizona Department of Health physically investigated these complaints during the pandemic, they would have documented far more. I would have never, never, ever put my mom here had that been documented. Ever. Right, it's time that this board... It's time that this board...
No, don't... Do not give me the finger, okay?
It's time that this board...
In your 5 minutes, I have some questions for you.
...fulfills its obligation to the public and to the seniors who rely on its diligence and duty.
Okay, are you through?
I am through.
Okay. Thank you, first of all, for being here today. You know, you've expressed some very serious concerns, and the board is very interested and making sure that we do the right thing in both of these cases. Now, you had notified DHS about your concerns?
Absolutely.
And they did investigate?
Yes, they did.
Okay. And they substantiated some of your concerns?
Absolutely.
Okay. And what time frame was your mom residing at this facility?
My mom moved to Park Senior Villas on April 15th, 2022. And she left in June 27th.
My mom is no longer. Of 22? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, and the number of deficiencies that you're citing here is over what period of time?
These were found post-2022. This was during 22.
From
2021, the end of 22. This is... All those citations that I gave you, the number for, came when Janaea Downs stated she was the manager of Park Senior Village.
So about when, what start date?
Like January 2021. Okay. To today.
January 21 to current?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for your time and for expressing your concerns about your mom's stay. It's unfortunate, and we will make sure that we look into all of this and make sure that we come up with a reasonable plan or assessment of what needs to be done. All right. Phil, I only have the first case pulled up. First case was by our other investigator. Which case is the second one, sir?
22.
Thank you. All right, Phil, are you familiar with this case?
I'm trying to. Al did these, but I know a little bit now. I do have a copy of 2023-0001, so I can speak to that one when I'm reviewing the other. So I can synopsize them all.
Jack, would it be possible to defer this case and have Al attend a future meeting where we can discuss this?
Mr. President, members of the board, yeah, we can ask for that. But in addition to that, where do you want us to focus on if there's additional investigation, if there's a timeline? So I don't know these like the back of my hand, but obviously there's an issue of what manager was in place at what time. I don't know the whole history of what's been referred to us from DHS over that time frame. I don't have that memory or that recall.
All right, I would like to know that. I'd also like to know, did DHS also forward complaint to us regarding their inspection?
Yeah, there were two previous ones. One was dismissed, and I think two were recommended to be dismissed today. Two were from DHS and one was from the complainant. And it appears that the one from the complainant is similar to the allegations that were provided to us by DHS on a previous complaint. So we're going to roll all together for it.
And if you read page 2083, you'll see that there was others, and the others kind of got all of them were dismissed.
So I have a question to Mr. Comfort. Jack, with all of the write-ups, does DHS have the ability to close that home down?
That's their statutory.
Now, why did they not close that home down if all this was going on?
I don't have an answer for you.
Because we have no control over that.
There's a couple things. I think there's always that common silver thread through all complaint allegations. So if you have several complaints, we would look for that common allegation throughout all of them. We have had similar, there are professionals, other health-related professionals that have dual licensure, and I wasn't here in May of 2022, so as you're aware, we put a lot of things in place in September, December of 2022 about criminal backgrounds, that sort of thing. So I don't have explicit answers on that application. So I think there's a couple things that can be looked at. I don't have an answer on what DH did, if anything. But we can definitely find that.
And I also think this campus is a very large campus that has assisted living, has memory care, has behavioral care.
So how many people are we talking about?
Oh, I'm saying this has to be over 100.
Okay. So how do we verify that there was no manager?
That's what we have to look at. Okay. I mean, and you know the acronyms within the industry. Sometimes a manager at a facility may not be the certified manager. So I don't have answers to all that.
Okay.
But I think we can find it for you and bring it back if that's what you want.
I like that.
Okay, I think I'd like to have a little more clarity on this.
And we'll have the investigator that wrote those reports available to you.
I think that would be helpful in this case. I want to make sure that we get all the facts sorted out.
Sure.
So that we can make some good decisions here.
And then I'd like a clarification on her getting the license in May of 23. Did she never have a license before?
No.
Was it renewal or what? But if y'all would put that piece together for us as well, that would be very helpful.
Team of viewers.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right. So it's administratively deferred. So on your section 7C, 1 through 34, These have all these cases have been dismissed. If any of you are here for any one of those cases, my case has been disposed, and you're free to leave if you'd like.
Do we
have it? The next hearing.
Sure. Okay.
All right, next formal hearing, John M. Sandiano. Are you here today? Complaint number 2022, NCI 0178.
Hi, my name is Denise Lingo. I'm his wife. He actually is working full-time job. So I've been the one who's kind of going back and forth with the person or the sheet on behalf of his wife. He is the major, right? That's not what I was told when I spoke with somebody last week. I emailed, they called me back, I explained that, and they said to be here.
Who did you talk to?
I have the email. I sent it to him. I think it was Brian.
Just the first meeting.
Yeah,
pushing it to it.
Mr. President,
yes.
We can ask them to chat for a couple minutes. We can move on to something else if you'd like. Mr. President, members of the board, we are talking with Mr. President, members of the board, this is the case number 2022 NCI 0178. It was scheduled for a complaint hearing today because the respondent, John Zagallo, failed to sign the consent agreement. We've talked with an interested party to the matter and come to the conclusion that we can get this consent agreement signed and resolve the case as the board had originally voted and adjudicated. So the recommendation for staff is to allow us the opportunity to try to get the consent agreement signed, postpone the hearing until the next available meeting and hold it then if necessary. But I have an assurance that we can get this done now and get it resolved as originally voted on by the board. So I would ask for the board to make a motion to postpone the hearing.
If I could help.
Please.
President, if you members of the board, perhaps you could consider entertaining a motion to continue the hearing with the understanding that the manager is going to sign the proposed consent agreement upon receipt of the signed consent agreement to the board. You could then include in your motion to vacate the hearing. And if we don't get the consent agreement, then it'll just either appear, I don't know, in your July or August, whenever the agenda would support the next available hearing date. So.
Yeah. And Mr. President, members of the board, if I may, to put a time frame on when the consent agreement must be signed and returned to the board.
When was it supposed to have been signed?
It was originally sent out in January of 2023. The letter says 10 days. We treat that as 10 business days. So it probably should have been back in here by February. And then the notice for the hearing and so forth is 35 days and so forth. So that's how we got to June.
So it takes that long when they don't sign it?
Yes, it can. It's take.
That's terrible.
Madam President, members of the board, it has, the timeline is getting better because of the staff follow-up, to be quite honest with you. And that's not unreasonable. There's some opportunity for efficiency there. But 3-4 months between the time the board votes up for a consent agreement, when we get the schedule, the hearing schedule is about right.
And do we know why it wasn't signed? What's the excuse?
I think it's just, I'm not going to speak for the respondent, but it's the same thing that we've heard previously. Business is a busy time, a lot of things going on with family and management of one or two assisted livings, and life happens. I mean, there's never a really good reason as far as the board and regulation is concerned, but it's not an unreasonable response.
And Mr. President and members of the board, if I just may, as part of your deliberation as to when to have this consent agreement returned, being that this was a complaint, notice of hearing was not responded to, the original offer of the consent agreement was not signed. This was set today for a formal hearing. Respondent is not here today, although an interested party is here. I would recommend that you consider that in your deliberations, as if you're going to offer a consent agreement, to have a quick turnaround. 3 business days, 5 business days, and to not drag this on any further, because this has been going on for quite some time.
So this question before us, though, if the original consent agreement is signed within 5 days, say that we vacate the hearing,
if they accept the original consent agreement, then, and once we get that properly executed document in board hands, then in the motion we'll vacate the hearing properly.
Mr. President, members of the board, there is a little bit of precedence for this. If you remember, we had a similar case last month and the month before, where the board voted it to hearing again, and I kind of intervened and said, well, okay, but if we get the consent agreement signed before that hearing, is that okay? The board unanimously said yes. The time frame is a little different in this one, but it's kind of the same thing that we did previously. So I don't know if that happened or not. We look at these on a case-by-case basis. And I guess my recommendation would be for us to follow that consent agreement in this one. I hope I'm not wrong.
All right. Ma'am, you guys live in Surprise?
No, that's where the group home is. We live in Avondale.
You what?
Avondale.
Okay, so you live in town. You can get down to the board office with a signed agreement very quickly, right?
I explained to Mr. Confer that I would scan it and send it back to him by the end of day, if possible, the latest tomorrow.
Okay. All right, I'm prepared to make a motion. I move that the board continues the hearing for complaint number 2022-NCI-0178, Ms. John and Zangelo, with the understanding that the manager will sign the consent agreement, and when the board receives the properly signed and executed agreement, we'll vacate the hearing. And this is, this consent agreement needs to be in the board office by close of business on Wednesday. You got an extra day. So,
14th is Wednesday.
Okay, June 14th.
Okay. Before 5 p.m.
All right, yeah, before 5 p.m.
And if it's not signed, then we have the 30 days for next month to be on a hearing.
Correct.
Hey, do I have a second?
Second.
Lieutenant and Susan.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Felix.
She stepped out.
Abstain.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
All right, very well.
Thank you, Denise.
NCI-0596. Licensee is Alexandra Salkick, who's present here today. And on May 18, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Starlight Care Seniors LLC located in Glendale. The compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Ms. Salkick was notified of the complaint, and she did provide her written response. And on approximately November 10, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and entered into a settlement agreement with the facility licensee for a term of 3 years, at which time the facility was on probation and additional terms for that. No false information was to be provided to the department as an applicant in the future. So apparently there were some issues with facility application with DHS. And Ms. Alkick is here today to discuss the matter with you.
All right. How long had you been the manager at this home?
4 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. 4 years.
And are you managing any place else right now? Are you managing any other home?
No, just my home. Just my home. On a Glendale.
You're managing it?
My
She owns it.
Okay. And just as a matter of interest, how large is this home?
My home is for the 5 residents, for the license for 5. And right now I'm really to know, do I managing any other home besides mine? No, it's mine.
Do you have any plan to want to manage another one right now, or just
not right now. The reason this situation has happened, the last year I had 2 houses, his both was mine, and I was manager on a both houses, which was very difficult. And right after my inspection, the mayor came on May 18th, 2022, I closed the business, one of them, on June 1st. So I told Ryan that I can focus more than 100% on my home, what I'm managing right now, and I'm on that home. right now, so I did that so that I can read, like, all my books to not repeat anything what I did the last year.
All right, so you have quite a few deficiencies here. So what is it that you have done to change your practice of business to ensure that none of these kinds of deficiencies happen in your home?
Honestly, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm going to be honest to just try to explain. I'm actually trust and believe that people who work in a DHS, so anytime I have that any questions, more than often, I call them and ask for the surveyor of the day, and I ask the questions what I need to know. So that's what I did, the same thing. I had a deficiency. I get deficiency on service plan, what is assigned a resident who is a personal care. So the personal care, he's a alert and oriented time for. So the, actually, he had the power of attorney, but more for the financial part. So he's a very oriented. And he signed his service plan, but surveyor asking me why the family didn't sign. I signed, the RN signed, and he signed, but the POA didn't sign, but he's not direct care. So that's answer I get from the DHS. So he gave me the deficiency on it. I take it. I try to fix it. And now I know, even if the personal care, now I'm always giving the, if they have the power of attorney, I always giving the power of attorney to sign, no matter what. Even if the supervisory care, it's to just protect. I mean, it maybe depend about the surveyor to surveyor, so that's actually happened to me. Honestly, I think so. I have a deficiency. She gave me for the medication. She mentioned the medication. So the medication, she came in a time when it was a breakfast. So she came 8:05 in my house. So yes, this medication was pulled out from the fridge and giving. So she said it was open. So I didn't really argue with her because that's happened, but she can see the locker on a little kind of suitcase, a little one, so with numbers and that can be locked. But in at that time when she came, yes, it was passing medication around because it was a breakfast time. So she gave me also the medication for that.
Was the medication box unattended? Was it within sight of the caregiver?
No, it was next to the caregiver but outside of the fridge and was open.
Right, so the caregiver was in the same room?
Yes.
Giving meds?
Next to the medication.
In the box?
Yes.
So the issue I think that probably prompted your consent agreement with DHS is about a caregiver who didn't actually have a certification or... so they didn't have a valid caregiver certificate?
I will really explain what's the actual difference. I have a caregiver who have the all certificate, the fingerprint card and CPR and well, they need CPR and first aid. I'm sorry, I'm pretty good. So I also called the NCI board for the try to notify and clarify the certificate. It's true they didn't clarify the person, but they clarified the school. Yes, it's happened. So when the surveyor came over there, in that moment I wasn't present. I came like 10 minutes later. So I really cannot say on surveyor anything because I wasn't there and I cannot say it happened this or that. But then as soon as I came in, the surveyor was giving the very bad pressure on a caregiver. So trying to make picture in her face, that's what happened. So the caregiver said, why I deserve this? And she pushing her, give me picture ID, and the caregiver tried to say something. She says something to her. I even didn't understand. The caregiver takes the purse and leaves the place. That's happened. I was there. The surveyor starts still screaming and yelling. I tried to calm her down to, okay, I found I didn't have the picture of her ID and put in a file, what I do now, and I update my policy procedure. And actually, I'm not hiring people who is not after 2013 that finished the certificate, so to make sure they can be notified. But in that moment, I really tried. She was really upset, and I apologized to her. And I, you know, honestly, I didn't know what to do because she was really upset. The surveyor was upset because she's say something to her because she tried to take the phone and in her face. And why you do that? If I deserve the deficiency, I will step and gonna be like be responsible for that. Like, let's go see. Maybe she's she's don't have the picture ID. Maybe she was scared. Maybe she say something. I don't know. But the surveyor really give the pressure of that part. After that, we talk normal, and I show her what I have, and she was calm down later. But in that moment, it was really
I'm sorry. Just based upon the vice chair's question. This person did or did not have a caregiver certificate?
She brought me all certificates, CPR, and fingerprint card.
So she did?
She did bring to me, and I notified the NCI board. I had email. When they send me person not to notify, the school is qualified. The school is really, it's
So was that certificate there at the time, the day and the time of the inspection?
Yes, it is. By the caregiver, the surveyor, because she bunched on her, say, first give me ID picture, the caregiver say something to her, she didn't want to take it, she didn't want to look it up, she say, I don't want to talk about that, and I said, okay, I mean, I...
Was the fingerprint card, CPR card, all up to date?
All up to date.
Is it a requirement that we have a photo ID in our files?
It's not, but I changed my policy procedure from that day, and I'm one of the, for me, requiring the first document ever, because maybe I felt as a manager, it can happen. I mean, I'm just a human being, but it can happen. And I'm, first thing now, I'm asking the picture ID must be in a folder, even if not, my policy procedure not. But I updated with a professional consultation. I updated.
Okay.
But honestly, I'm really trying. Beside me and my husband, he done before 2013 his certificate. So all after, or the NCI can notify the person even before 2013. I'm good with that person. If not, I'm not working with that. That's 100%.
So when were they? When were your folks, your residents, left alone in the home?
No, in that time it was a person, what she said, not certified was with them, but she considered she's not certified, so that means that's how, that's what she said.
But she was certified, and the surveyor said she wasn't certified.
Yes,
so
yes.
The surveyor wrote, you left it, no one, okay, got it.
So yeah, her due diligence was she called and it was before August 2013.
Yeah, but she didn't want to watch it.
And she didn't see that because there's an opinion out there. I think she's done her due diligence. She changed her policy and procedures, and DHS probably made you do that for your consent agreement with them.
Yes. And respectful, whatever I sign is.
Any further questions? Excuse me, want to make a motion? Some additional education would be appropriate.
How long have you been a manager?
For a little bit less than 4 years. Maybe like 3 years.
All right, I'll make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44611, R433-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2022-0596 involving manager Alexandra Selkick, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement should include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate would stay in suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $524.82. 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas. Service plans, personnel requirements, and ethics. Other terms, these continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirement of R433-501A2. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Okay, Becky, second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-3.
All right, very well. All right, thank you so much for being here today.
I just have a question. Am I going to get everything by email? Email?
We'll send you correspondence by email and regular mail.
Okay.
Probably within the next 5 days or so. Thank you.
All right, Mr. LaGarca. Come on up. This is tab 4. And if you'd introduce yourself again for the record, please.
Yeah. Yes.
What's your name?
Cyrus Mokaya.
All right, thank you for being here. Phil, if you've not learned the case.
Sure. It's complaint 2022-NCI-0593. Licensee is Cyrus Mokaya, who's present here today. And on June 6, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Rosemont Assisted Living located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 12 deficiencies in 8 different areas. Mr. Mokaya was noticed of the complaint, but did not provide a written response. On approximately November 25th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and posted a civil money penalty of $250 for one substantiated violation, and Mr. Mokaya is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
All right. Well, how long have you been manager at this one?
It's like 2 years now.
You've been the manager there since you received your certificate?
Yeah.
And how many residents does the home have? And what's your census currently?
Currently it's 4, but the home is supposed to carry 8.
You have 8?
Yeah.
And it's the only facility you manage?
Yes.
So how many hours a week do you spend on that?
Mostly for a week, I can say it's around 30 hours.
30?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you not respond to this complaint?
Unfortunately, I should think it's a mix-up because the survey came, actually, I was sick. The DHS person came in, and I had an appointment. I was just going out. The aide, who was to be on duty that day, he gave her instructions, and she carried out. But I had to go back immediately after I was done with the appointment. But the subsequent correspondences, I did respond. I don't remember because the citations which were given, I did communicate with the Department of Health constantly. So the non-response is what I don't get. Because after that, then the gentleman who had come in actually came in again, and he said, you know, you are tagged $250, of which you were supposed to pay, and you have not paid it, and I said I have no correspondence to that effect. He gave me a copy of the, from there, and I, that's the time when I paid that. But there are,
that was with Department of Health Services.
Uh-huh.
So you went across the street.
Yeah. Oh.
You did not respond to this board.
The board, I responded because I, the email I got was, is it a open or, and I responded to that email, the only email which I ever got from here. And even if there was any communication, was it sent by mail or was it sent by email?
Phil, was it sent by?
That would be both.
Both.
The notice of complaint would be via regular mail and email.
And anything I've got from Department of Health, I
no, we're not Department of Health.
Oh, no, the board. I remember I sent them the copy of the paperwork. That one is good. I would not, you know, and that's which probably was going to tell me. But there's another.
Some confusion for us. I guess some additional education would be good.
Clarity there, because in essence, I don't think I've got a letter from the board apart from the paperwork which I had with DHS. The only email I got is the one which I got, which was suggesting that I had to get before the board. And I was wondering what is it about, because I don't really know what is going on.
Okay, I'm prepared to make a motion. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 44610, R4 33407A and B1 for a professional conduct in complaint number 2022, NCI 0593 involving manager Cyrus Makaya, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met, probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months, reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $569.70, 3 hours of continuing education with executive director's pre-approval required, and documented completion in each of the following areas: medication management, service plans, personnel requirements, environmental standards. Other terms, these continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirement of R433-501-32. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Ken and Susan, second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stevens.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well.
Did you take any glasses?
Is Isabella Conte here?
Anna Gonzalez. Okay, John DiNato.
Yes.
Come on up.
Morning.
Good morning.
You can just introduce yourself for the record, please.
Yes, John S. DiNato.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I've seen you a lot.
Again?
374.
I'm sorry, I'm here. About an hour. Thank you. This complaint 2022-NCI-06-00. License is John DiNato, who is present here today. And on September 27, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Scottsdale Quarter Care Assisted Living located in Scottsdale. Compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 7 different areas. Mr. DiNato was noticed of this complaint, and he did provide his written response. And on approximately November 3rd of 2022, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated violations, and Mr. DiNato is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the members of the board.
All right. What's the capacity and census of the home?
Capacity is 10 census at the time. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
This is 7.
Okay. And how long have you been the manager here?
I'm going to say 3 years since between 2019 and 2020. Excuse me.
Sorry.
So about two and a half years.
And you manage any other homes or just this one?
Yes, I do. In fact, I hate to report to you that I was here last month because I had both homes inspected in the month of September. So consequently, some of the violations of one home are repeat violations in the second home, which have now been corrected because of both inspections. And I've already signed a letter of censure. Is that correct, Mr. Cochran?
A consent agreement?
Yes. For the other home, and have complied by signing it, and also am working now to do the conditions of that letter at this time, and have now come to speak to the board about this second group home. The first group home is Carolyn Care, which I was here last week. So,
Jack, you know what the terms were?
Of the prior?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Are you still the manager of the both homes?
Yes, ma'am, I am. I've made some considerable additions to my serving there, and then also, when I say serving, working there, and then also putting into place, and I provided it to DHS as well as to the board here, of things that I put into place to regulate the documentation as well as just the from medication management to disaster plan, the whole, because it was in one house, I made sure that now it's in the second house. So now I have some crossover as far as making sure everything is being checked via systems, and also working with the group home owner, making sure that they're under, they understand exactly what I'm doing there as a job and what my capacity is to make sure when people are hired that they're hired under the right circumstances. So even if I'm not there that day that they do the hiring, I follow up and make sure that everything is there that is required by the board.
So do you have the authority to hire?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you'd hire and then the owners also hire?
Correct.
And so your check system wasn't in place prior to these surveys?
Correct.
So they would hire and you'd be like, okay,
Well,
or, yeah, I mean, it just, it was what it was.
Yes.
You have your fall prevention and recovery?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Training verified?
Yes, I do.
Did we find out what the consent agreement was from before?
Well, we didn't give a jacket a chance to do about any of
it. It was 3 hours of continuing education and personnel records and a reimbursement of the investigative costs.
What was the amount of reimbursement?
It was $542.
So it was just 3 hours of personnel requirements.
And then this one was added on to the service plans. It was $601.
How far apart are these home?
Approximately a mile.
Do they have the same owner?
They do. They
do. So you're looking for one owner, both houses?
Correct.
Okay. All right, I would be okay with the recommendation, but I would say remove the personnel requirements. It's already covered in the last one.
I agree.
Okay. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446-10R4, 33407A and B1, for unprofessional conduct in complaint number 2022 NCI 0600 involving manager John Dignati. And the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $601.33. 3 hours of continuing education with executive directors. Pre-approval required and documented completion in each of the following areas. Service plans, emergency disaster preparedness. Other terms, these continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirement for R433-501-82. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holders.
I have a question. Jack, since he has some of the same issues at the second home or the other home, and he is doing a consent agreement with us, I don't know how the citations of what he has to do, but if they are the same, let's say it's service plan, he takes 1 3-hour course, or he takes two, or how does that mesh up when they're very similar and he's cited in both places?
Mr. President, Board Member Stephen, as far as like a prior violation, we wouldn't even consider a prior violation because this consent agreement was signed in May. Since both surveys were done back in, I think, September, and the time frame is very close in proximity, I would think that only one class would be sufficient to cover all of the deficiencies or allegations during that time frame. The only time I would start delineating that is if there was a prior violation for maybe a bigger sanction, but we don't have that here. So I think we're okay with what we can do.
The only overlap in the recommended education is the personnel requirement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, do I have a second on the motion?
Second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very good.
Same type of thing. They removed the duplicate continuing education.
Okay.
So we'll all send out the paperwork to you next couple days.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
There's Rhoda, come up here. Okay, Elena Romania. Hey, welcome. Could you introduce yourself for the record, please?
Elena Romania.
Any
being here. All right, Phil, are you ready?
Sure. This is complaint 2022-NCI-0610. The licensee is Elena Romainer, who is present here today. And on October 6, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at West Valley Care Home 2, located in Peoria. Compliance inspection identified 8 deficiencies in 7 different areas. 2 of those deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Romainer was noticed of the complaint, and she did provide her written response. On approximately November 23, 2022, DHS took enforcement action when they imposed a civil money penalty of $500 for 2 substantiated repeat violations, and Ms. Romainer is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
All right, thank you. All right, and how long have you been the manager of this home?
From 2006.
Okay, and...
But I got the manager license in 2000. I manage another home.
Okay. And how many residents do you have in this home?
I'm licensed for 10. At that time, the survey was 9.
All right, and with compliance with medication administration, what have you changed since the inspection to ensure that this repeat deficiency doesn't happen again?
Yeah, the issue was I went on vacation, and I came home, and it was too soon. I did not have time to do all the paperwork. And the medication, the patient was on hospice, and they don't provide eye drops. We ordered it, but we did not get in time when the survey was there.
So you were on vacation and didn't have time to do the paperwork when you came back? Is it did I hear that correctly?
No, I did not. I was not home to order it.
Oh, okay. Thank you. But just if the drops did get ordered during
yes.
You could just have them arrived?
Yes.
What sort of eye drop was it?
The eye drops was, I got here.
Like a steroid or an antibiotic?
No, it was not. It's for glaucoma.
Okay.
And it was just 2 drops a day.
Would this have been a problem if the order for the eye drops had read, administer the 2 drops per day when available?
Yes.
In case they knew it had be ordered? Okay.
The other enforcement item was about the under the cabinet. Under the sink cabinet was unlocked.
We have a magnet.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have to push hard to get locked. And that happened twice. And I'm sorry. I was in business for so many years, I never had so many deficiencies.
So what did you do? Did you fix that lock?
No, it's there, but we need to push hard to close it.
Okay. So you make sure that everybody pushes hard?
Yes, and I put the note on the door.
To push hard?
To close it.
Close it.
Yeah.
And make sure it's locked? Okay. Yes. Be very deliberate with caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them exactly what to do.
How have you changed your system to ensure that everybody has appropriate fingerprints and you have that information?
Yes, I do have that lady working a part-time job for me for 6 years. And I went in on vacation and she got the fingerprint and I did not have on the file and the search.
So you're saying she was with you for 6 years and you hadn't really quite checked on that, but she went and got it and now you're
happy. Yes, I got a copy here.
How do you ensure that all employees that you have proper and appropriate fingerprints?
Well, I call, I ask the public service, I call them and I get an answer, and I wrote down who I spoke with.
And was that part, you said that they worked part-time for 6 years. Were they a caregiver?
Yes.
And so was this fingerprint card expired?
Yes.
The original one?
Yes.
So they just had to update it?
Yes.
So how do you ensure that all your fingerprint cards stay updated?
I check all the time, but... I understand. I did mistake. I don't check. Usually, the caregiver, when they get the card, they bring it to me, and I did not have it.
Do you have a file that shows when they expire, so that you have something to check against?
No. No.
Well, I guess the question would be, what did you write for your plan of correction in order to make sure that fingerprints are not missed and that doesn't happen again?
I sent
to DHS, what did you write for your plan of correction?
Yes. Yes, I did.
What did you say that you are doing to make sure that that doesn't happen again?
I will be more careful and I will be more looking for my paperwork to be done. And I go to class, some education.
You did or you're going to?
I did and I'm going to.
How many employees do you have?
Two. And me, I live there. But I want to tell you something. My son took over the facility in June.
Is your son a manager?
Yes.
Now? So
yes.
He
yes.
has one home and you have one home?
No.
He has both homes?
One home.
But you're still the manager on this home, on record with this department?
Yeah, because I applied for it, but he took over beginning of June 1st.
Is he going to be the new license manager?
Yeah, he is.
Then you need to notify this department.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you need to notify them.
Okay.
In writing.
Okay.
Are you going to continue working there, or are you just going to kind of retire?
I just kind of try to retire. I will help him if he needs some help.
Well, you've had a really good track record. You've only been to this board one time in 2008, so for 23 years, You did a great job.
Thank you.
What are you thinking? Additional education, if she's not going to do it anymore, it's not going to care. Is this or not a concern?
She could do a lot of concerns, just for the record. That way, if she decides she's going to put that certificate someplace else, there's kind of a process that says that'd be a little more alert.
Can I just ask a follow-up question?
Yes.
I didn't understand the conversation with Sun taking over. And it looks like you might have recently asked for a duplicate certificate.
Yes.
So, is your son taking over the ownership of it or just the management of it? Or both?
He's taking both.
Okay. So what's the purpose of the duplicate certificate that you recently asked for?
He asked for.
He did? No, I thought you did. No.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
For what?
For no purpose. I don't have.
Okay. Thank you.
But is your son certified right now as a
he
manager?
He is certified. He's a manager. He has the license on the wall in his name from the health department. And he took over the LLC.
How far away is, you said he manages a home right now.
Yes.
And then he took over yours. How far apart are those two homes? Where are they both located?
I don't have the homes. I don't know.
Why. He has one.
No. He owned one, West Valley Care Home. And he got divorced, and his wife took over. And now he doesn't have, he
so
was
this will be his one home
one
that he
home.
Takes over.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I just want to try to clarify the duplicate.
Was there a facility name and address listed on it?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask for some help.
Executive Director Confer, I'm looking at it. It says AZ Life Assisted Living.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Because there's three service requests right now in our portal asking for a duplicate certificate. And it has that facility name.
And her name?
Yes, under her ALM profile. So somebody did a service request under your name asking for that.
Are you planning to keep your license?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I don't want to end getting retired and be after all those years. I don't mean I needed the license, but I was thinking over the years I worked, I deserve to have my own license.
Just in case, right?
Yeah.
Just in case.
No.
So she can continue.
No, I'm going to leave. I'm going to enjoy vacation, and I'm not going to work.
Well, and I think that's great, but I just want you to be careful that someone's been acting on requesting on your behalf your license, and so your license is going to be hanging at a, not at West Valley Care Home, it's going to be hanging at AZ Surprise Group Home. Do you know that group home?
I know her, but I don't know why.
Staff will follow up on that.
Yes.
Figure out if it's the actual request for fraudulent or whatever. So we'll follow up on that. Thank you.
Well, she wants to make changes. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence in the violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446.10, R433-407A and B1 of professional conduct and complaint number 2022, NCI 0610, involving manager Elena Romanek, and the board offered consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to public hearing. The consent agreement shall include the following conditions. Suspension of certificate, but stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Information with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $569.70. 3 hours of continuing education, and with the executive director's pre-approval required, a document of completion in each of the following areas: medication management, service plans, personnel requirements, environmental standards. Other terms, these continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirement for R-433-501-82. Any costs of the probation are those of the certificate holder.
Second.
Excuse the second.
President Kidder.
Aye.
Vice President Archer.
Aye.
Member Campbell.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Brimhall.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Coford.
Aye.
Motion passes.
The board has voted to offer you a consent agreement to resolve the matter. So staff will get that up to you in the next couple of days. Any questions, just give us a call.
Okay, Monica Papa here.
Yes.
And welcome. And if you'd state your name for the record, please.
Monica Papa.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Okay, this is complaint 2022-NCI-0612. The licensee is Monica Popa, who is present here today. And on August 31st, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Arrowhead Valley Assisted Living, located in Glendale. The compliance inspection identified 9 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Ms. Popa was noticed of this complaint, and she did provide a written response. Now, on approximately November 9, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,000 for 2 substantiated violations, and Ms. Popa is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
All right. Thank you, Bill. And how long have you been the manager here?
Since 2011.
Okay. And how many beds is it licensed for?
It's licensed for 5.
5. All right, tell us the circumstances about the 2 deficiencies that went to enforcement. The first one is failing to ensure that at least a manager or a caregiver was present when the resident is in the house.
The morning of the inspection, my caregiver had an emergency with her kids in school, so I was there within 5 minutes. I was at the store to get a grocery for lunch, and we had a cleaning lady in the house at the time of when the inspection. Okay.
All right, so the cleaning lady was not a certified caregiver.
No, she was in process to be hired and to go to school to become, but not at the time.
Okay. And what have you done today to ensure that that kind of problem doesn't happen again?
Prior to hiring, like, I'm looking for all the certificates for the fingerprints card and verified, and then I'll proceed with hiring. And looking at my record, I had perfect record, no deficiency, as I did lose my husband in 2020. And now the problem that I got into is because a lot of the home, like the building, that I was not familiar with, the air conditioning broke and I need to find contractors. And then that took time from me doing my paperwork, which prior to that, my husband passing away, I didn't have those problems, so I focused only on the managing and the assisted living. But now I do have a contractor that I can call in case of something goes wrong with the house, so I can focus on the papers.
Okay. Well, we're sorry for your loss. The next issue is about manager failed to ensure that each employee or volunteer had a personnel record. What happened in that situation?
That was with the same person, the volunteer, so I didn't have her records straight enough. All.
Okay, so this they haven't been hired yet. She's
yes.
helping you out.
Yes.
Okay.
But not the caregiver, so the caregiver had all the papers.
So did the caregiver who had the emergency, which
yes.
of course we have to respond to, but did that caregiver call you to notify you that they were leaving the property?
Yes, and I was just there, like next door, Fry store, like, and the surveyor, like she saw like within 5 minutes I was back in the house. It was around 9:20, and I was there before you.
So that would still be a citation, so would it be reasonable that you could have asked that caregiver to stay till you made it back to the house? Like, what if something happens again and
yes.
you're gone?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to look even the caregiver, like, to discuss all these emergency possible issues. So right now I have somebody that she's single right now, so she has no kids.
No kids to worry about?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean she still couldn't have an emergency.
Yes.
So what do you have in place if there's an emergency and you can't be there
can,
at that moment?
Yeah,
what do you do?
They can never leave. And the misunderstanding was with the caregiver, she contacted me, she announced me, but she didn't know exactly the role of the cleaning lady. So that's why... She was just leaving, but I took care of that caregiver. So in the future, we have to communicate better, and no caregiver will leave the person, no matter what happens, until the manager or another certified caregiver will be there. And yeah, that's like before that never happened to me. It's just it was so many things in a row in 2022, like. Like I said, the overwhelm was for me because I didn't know, like at 8 o'clock Sunday night, the air conditioning broke and I needed to find somebody right away that I did not have contacts before. So I did and we fixed the air conditioning. It worked for 2 days. Like by Wednesday, we had a new air conditioning in the house.
And so now do you have a list of various professional contacts?
I do have a contractor that like a handyman.
Okay.
Yes, so then he has all the, now I can contact him when something goes wrong with the building.
And your caregivers know how, like if you're out of the country or out of state, they
yes.
know how to call
she, yes.
that person?
Yes, they will have the numbers and they'll have the list with the contractors that I know, but first is the person that knows all the contractors. We changed now the new air conditioning, the roof.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Are you the owner of the building?
Yes.
And you manage a second facility as well?
Yes.
Are you the owner of that one as well?
No.
Okay.
The owner is right now and for the second two, she's going to school to become manager, so I'll ended up owning my house again.
Are you spending time at that house?
The second house.
The second house.
Yes, about 3 hours a week. We have good staff and the owner. She makes sure, I mean, she had, I had two managers designated at that house and two caregivers.
So you do about 10 hours a week at the second home?
About 30 hours at the second home. Mostly I live and it's with my house, the one that I have in the efficiency.
Can I clarify? You said 3 hours a day, or you said 3 hours a week. Did you do
30 hours
a day?
Sorry, 30.
30 hours.
A week.
Just
yes.
to clarify, thank
yeah.
you.
All right,
I think it's... We see this all the time. Staffing is an issue. DHS has impeccable timing, unfortunately. Paid fines to DHS, maybe. From what she's answered, I think she has learned, I think she understands that I would be comfortable maybe with a letter of concern that it needs to be explicit that you can't give permission for somebody to leave the property. Everybody needs to understand that there's a caregiver there at all times. That would be my vote. I don't know. Anybody else have an opinion? Okay, I'll do it. Based on, I move that the board find insufficient evidence of a violation of complaint number 2022-NCI-0612 against Monica Popa, but instead issue a letter of concern, and the letter of concern would be regarding
Manager failed to ensure a certified caregiver was on premises at all times.
Yeah, what you said.
Second. Becky, were you second?
Oh,
okay. Okay, Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. Appreciate your time today. All right, Chad Samansky here. Hey, Garrett Jones, Carla Gomez, Bernardo Aleman, Florencio Lalo, Beverly Heasley.
Oh, wait,
Florencio.
Florencio?
Florencio.
Florencio.
Is he here? Yeah, yeah. Somebody's here.
Bernardo?
Yes.
We'll say something.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
12. All right, if you could introduce yourself on the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Florencio Lalo.
Okay, very well, thank you for being here. Okay, 16. All right, go when you're ready.
Sure, this is complaint 2023-NCI-0007. Licensee is Florencio Lalo, who is present here today. And on October 25th, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at Gift of Love Assisted Living, located in Phoenix. Compliance inspection identified 11 deficiencies in 6 different areas. Mr. Lalo was noticed of the complaint, and he did provide a response. And on approximately December 5th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $750 for 2 substantiated violations. And Mr. Lalo is here today to discuss the compliance inspection with the board.
All right. And how long have you been the manager here?
For this particular facility, they just hired me and started September 12, 2022. And initially, if I may add, I was just hired as temporarily because it was just sold by previous owners last manager. And so happens that he will be out of town. So for the period of 1 month only.
So you were only there for a month and then got inspected? Not even that. Less than 2 weeks, but you came September 22nd?
I came September 12th. And then October 5 when the surveyor came to the facility.
When you came aboard, did you read the prior survey so you knew the areas of concern?
I was doing that, and that time the previous owner is having a hard time communicating with me because he is already out of the country. And I can really find the records.
So you were only the manager 2 or 3 weeks when you had a survey?
Yes, ma'am.
And we should have the other manager in here.
Who was the previous manager?
His name is Felipe Torreira.
Did you you write the plan of correction for this?
I did not.
That was submitted? Okay.
Yeah, because I was trying to help this lady. You know, I have a moral obligation to support her being new in this kind of environment. Yeah, I mean.
So, are you still hanging a certificate someplace? At this house?
Yeah, for now. It's still, because I just want to make sure I close the case or clear myself first, so I can still have an access.
You're still the manager there?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you a manager someplace else?
Yes, ma'am.
Also?
Yes.
For another owner? A different owner?
Different owner. I used to have my own, but because of some situations and plus the COVID and now having a hard time finding caregivers, so I stopped doing that. But I'm still pursuing to have my own rather than somebody's gaining about skills or.
So if you're still a manager, you still want to be a manager, presumably?
Of course, of course.
So what are you doing for, let's say, checking a new caregiver's qualifications, skills and knowledge? How do you verify that with their employee?
Okay, first, I have to ask for his or her certificate, body certificate, and then a fingerprint, of course. Then I have to check it online to be updated, and then the teeth test, and then CPR and first aid.
And then before they start working, what do you do with them?
Orientation.
And do you check their skills and knowledge through orientation process?
I do, but
or how do you document that?
We have the orientation list, and I explain to them one by one. And then if they still have a situation like they don't get it, I take time to explain it to them, so they will be more effective.
Do you see them do their skills? Do you watch them to see if they can do it?
I do. I watch them at the same time pop up some questions about how and why they will do that for them to have knowledge about what they will do.
Okay, thank you.
Like a pop quiz.
Like, what is CPR? Things like that.
So does the new owner or did you write or find a fall prevention? This is a big issue right now. Fall prevention. And fall recovery.
I did, ma'am. In fact, I even asked the previous owner, where is that? And he said, I don't know about that. But I got that information because I was working in another place myself where we were trained to be in that kind of fall prevention. So I applied that to that particular facility.
Can I verify, what is the actual complaint number? Is it 0070 or 0007?
It's 0007, I believe.
Okay. All right, I'm prepared to make a motion. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 2023 NCI 0007 against manager Lorenzo Lalo.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very good. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, and I did ask, is Beverly Heasley here? Okay, hearing none, I make a motion to approve the disciplinary consent agreements. For board recommendations for tabs number 1, 3, 6, 7, 9, 12 through 15, and 17.
So Ken and Becky second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cofer?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very good. Thank you. So let's move on to staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. Ms. Chaco? Was that? Are you here for CDUs?
I'm not.
Are you here? What case are you?
I'm waiting for a report.
He's the legislative liaison from
Democrat. And you don't get any extra credit for sitting in on this? we'll give you a donut if you want one. How about that?
He has great socks on. I can see that.
I didn't know if you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. And if you'd introduce yourself for the record, please.
My name is Leanna Chaco.
All right. Very well. Thank you for being here today. This is tab number two.
I can say for the record that I do know this new personally and professionally, but nothing with
do you have any independent knowledge of the case?
I do not have any independent knowledge of this case.
All right. Great. Okay. Really?
Yeah, we gotta hurry up. My phone. My computer's got to go to sleep. So I got 2 minutes.
Is it plugged in?
It's complaint 2022-NCI-0546. The licensee is Dave Chaco, who's present here today. Looks like on this June 7, 2022, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection at the ARDC Scottsdale home located in Scottsdale. Compliance inspection identified two deficiencies in two different areas. Ms. Chaco did provide a written response. And on October 5th, 2022, DHS took enforcement action, posted a civil money penalty of $250 for one substantiated violation. And Ms. Chaco is here today to discuss the matter with the board.
Okay, so the deficiency that went to enforcement was to ensure the caregiver documented services provided in the residence medical record. This was for 7 of 7 residents with service plans. Can you tell me what happened there?
Actually, the deficiency is when the ADM, they used the wrong ADL, and that was the thing. And I gave the previous year, I had the recommendation from the Mr. Haybucker. He was my surveyor. And I made the brand new ADL, and they accepted it at that time. Then I was not aware of it. This was June 7th. And my husband was in the hospital, so when I came back, when the surveyor was there, I came back. And then I realized they used the wrong form. And that was one violation. And the second violation was the caregiver did not put the... I had the box for insulin, and the lock was there too. She did not put it inside. She went there... According to them, when the caregiver, when the phone, the doorbell rang, they took the insulin and put it on the inside the fridge after giving, instead of putting inside the box and lock it. That was the second one. So I paid the... I have all the copies here. I paid the...
DHS,
yeah, $250. I paid the fine.
So, are you saying that the services were provided but not documented? Is that what this
yes.
is about?
They used the wrong ADL.
They used the wrong ADL.
ADL form.
But the services did take place.
Yes. And I have the copy for the $250 I paid, and this is the receipt. I took it over to DHS. They signed this one. They gave the receipt. And we have the file, they send it to me, I sign. And I send all the copy here for NCI board. And to begin with, I sold my property. Both of my, I own two properties and two care homes. I sold both of them. And I don't know anything now. And so I send everything to here and NCI board. Then I was out of the country in May, I think it is April last week I got there. Because where I was in the way up in Himalaya area, I don't get any, what they call, Wi-Fi. Then once I came down, I found the letter from here, email. So I replied to NCI board and said, you know, I won't be here until end of May. That's why I requested for the tour to June 12th.
So you've sold your two homes and you're not hanging your license anywhere?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I sold all of them.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want to still keep your license?
I have manager's license. I just renewed this year.
It's just not hanging anywhere.
I'm not owning anything now.
All right, I'll make a motion. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number 2022 NCI 0546 against manager Rene Jocko, but issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to ensure services provided as documented in the resident's medical record, which led to a repeat deficiency.
Second.
President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, very well. Thank you so much for being here today. All right, and then also in Section 7B, I'm making a motion to accept to approve staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern for items 1, 3 through 8.
Second.
And Susan?
President Kidder?
Aye.
Vice President Archer?
Aye.
Member Campbell?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Brimhall?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coford?
Aye.
Motion passes.
All right, we're good. Thank you. Next, you all, okay, let's move forward to the director report.
Let's call president report. You may not have a report.
I have a president, and so we're going to the executive director.
That's your
Mr.
report.
Mr. President, sir. A GIRC update. Our online rules have been approved by GIRC for both the caregiver training program and the manager training program. We'll be sending over the final documentation to the Secretary of State's office. We're going to send out a letter communication plan to the training programs and what's going on with that. So we went through the process. I will tell you right now, there is going to be further discussion with GIRC. At the study session on May 26th or something, I got drilled and grilled. So there's one GIRC member there that had a lot of questions. I think it was kind of outside the scope of what we were doing with the online training programs, but there's a concern about caregivers, the training, storage of medications, and I think there might be some training we need to do with that member about what DHS covers, what Access covers, what we cover, DHS inspects, and so forth. That kind of inquiry is carried over into the full meeting. We were removed from the consent agenda.
which it happens, but normally I have a heads up of it. Normally work group will call me and say, hey, you're going to have a bunch of questions. They actually asked, and the chair kind of agreed to move up our five-year rules review for Articles 6 and 7, which are the training programs. They tried to do it at the full meeting because it was on the agenda, but I expect it to be addressed at next month's meeting. So we might have a shorter time frame to get our five-year rule review done for Articles 6 and 7. Just a heads up to the board. I'll be bringing that back to the board if I get more specifics on it. So just realize there's a lot of questions there. If anybody's interested in seeing the recordings, they're on the GERC website if you want to get a flavor of how it went down. Or I'm happy to email them to you.
Could you do that?
Sure.
Do I need to send you a request?
No. I'll just send it out to the full board. You guys can listen to it if you want to. And I've already vetted it with Al. Al and I, because when you start getting, it's like a legislative meeting. When you start getting questioned real, I personally lose track. I don't remember everything I got asked. And that's the way this felt. So I sent recordings to Al, and I kind of said, Al, what did I screw up or what did I get wrong? And we did pretty good. Okay, so... but I'll send it out there, but so you can get a flavor.
So is somebody worried that caregivers aren't getting enough training?
It goes to the newspaper articles that we've been seeing.
Okay. So who's on GERC?
What's that?
Who's on GERC?
Okay. Chairs, Sorensen, who's from the Register of Contractors industry, been on there. This was board member Thorwald. He's well known.
Right.
Yeah. Well known. He's well known in the Republican Party.
I know him very well.
You know, gas and oil, I think, is his background. I really think it's more of an education thing than anything.
Yeah, I think so too.
But he's, he can be intimidating.
Yes, he can.
So, to the average person.
which wouldn't be. No.
So I think we have a little work to do there, but I think we can overcome it. Mm-hmm. So just FYI. Budget update.
We're really close. We're like around $400 within our appropriation. We have two more weeks left of the fiscal year.
Well, you know they're going
to
come sweep that
$400. Yes. We don't have a lot to give back.
How many managers? There's still managers who need to renew, which will
there are.
Certainly mm-hmm. more than $400.
Well, this is the appropriation. Oh, we can only spend the appropriation.
Oh,
so right. We're within like $412 of that.
That's what we spent. Get some office supplies.
Yes. We'll wait till the last day to see where we end up.
I'll comment on the cash balance here before we get done.
Can you tell me how many active administrators and managers we have right now?
There's what, about 2,400, Jack?
Yeah. Let me pull it up. Okay. I can pull it up while we're doing it. I didn't, and that's my fault, Mr. President. I didn't get these reports done in time. Do you have, what were the last numbers we ran on where we are with the manager renewal while I'm looking this up?
About 60% complete.
And they had till May 31st.
June 30th. So we expect to have a rush at the last moment. Phone calls are picking up for sure.
Currently, we have 325 administrators.
325?
325. We have 2,453 certified managers.
Say that again, 3,000?
2,453 active managers. And we're 60% through the renewals.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Any other questions on budget or stats? Senate Bill 1333, I think I mentioned this last meeting. I'm not sure if it had been signed by then. This is the piece of legislation where we extended the date for us to have FBI fingerprinting done for all of our initial applicants. So we got an amendment into the bill and extended the date from January of 2023 to July of 2024. So we have another year to try to comply with that mandate. So we've got it pushed.
This isn't because we don't want to comply. It's because we don't have
FBI. Yeah, and we're finding out more about the reasons why the FBI is not granting new access to the information, mm-hmm. But also some of the reason why requests before a certain time haven't been fulfilled yet. I got an email within the last week or two that gave us an update on that, but we'll still work on trying to get that done. That's kind of the takeaway, but we have more time to do it now. So thank you to the Senator Montenegro?
No, Representative.
Representative Montenegro for getting that amendment in. And getting that extension for us. Let me see here. Staff update. And Danita, hop in here. Mona, who has traditionally been our licensing administrator for the last 2 years, 2.5 years, she retired. I hired her back on a rehire at halftime. She has decided to truly retire.
Oh.
So she's leaving us. Her last day is the 16th.
Yes.
Now, keep in mind, this is her third retirement. So she's exiting stage left. Sorry to see her go, but she truly wants to retire, I think. So in response to that, we're shuffling staff a little. And by the way, today is Jaden's birthday.
Thank you.
What happened to Elizabeth?
Elizabeth is no longer with us either.
Oh,
you weren't here for that?
I was probably in the hospital.
Elizabeth, I don't know if she got a job with Health Services.
HSAG.
Yeah, Services Advisory Group.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so she's doing well.
Good. I just looked over and it said, when you said it was Jane's birthday, I thought, well, where's her? I'm sorry.
Things change with staff, and we try to respond as quickly as we can.
So. Don't miss a meeting.
Jane's going to be taking over a licensing specialist position in support of Mona leaving. The other thing, I don't know if it's done yet, Stacy Rodriguez, who is helping us out with the complaint side of things, is working half-time. She's been offered a full-time position. I'm not sure if she's accepted that yet. She has?
No, I haven't heard back yet.
Okay. And so we're kind of shuffling a little to take care of that one retirement. Let me see what else. Did I miss anything?
No.
You're doing a great job, Jack. I
don't thank me because I just kind of hang on in the reins. Danita and everybody else is what's really getting it done around here. And thank you, Danita.
Yeah.
She really is. As far as budget, I've chatted about this a couple times. We're going to be submitting our budget request on September 1st, which would be for the July 1st of 2025. I want to ask the board for fee increases. We're struggling to get things done in a timely manner with the staff we have. My opinion right now is we need another full-time investigator and we need another administrative assistant for front office. All said and done, you're probably looking at $80,000 to $90,000 for that investigator position with benefits and ERE.
you're probably looking at $50,000 to $60,000 per year for another administrative person. The current fees coming in the front door are not going to add up to that. So probably next month I'll have a little better presentation with a percentage. I'm thinking about a 20% increase on fees across the board. You are limited by statute to a fee increase of no more than 25%. I don't know why and where that came in, but it's there. So that's probably what the ask is going to be. But I will have specifics on numbers for everybody.
You haven't raised fees in quite some time.
Al, when I chatted with Al about this, it's been about 10 plus years.
Could you tell me what the current fees are? Does anybody know?
It's listed out in rule. And that's what I want to present to you. I want to show you what that 20% is going to do across the board, from initial applications to license renewals, certificate renewals. And then you also get a better idea of what percentage is going to be affecting what industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and training programs as well. We only have 45, 50 training programs, but their fees are already at like $1,000 for initial application. Mm-hmm. But I want to look at all of them. So I am going to bring that to you. I just wanted to float it. And we'll probably let our industries know that we're going to be floating it next meeting, try to get some feedback, and go from there.
Because of this new access training that got approved last year, have you seen a decrease in the number of the training programs operating our mm-hmm. training program?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to be a decrease in revenue there.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
And everything we do has cost more money. Every piece of paper we use, everything.
We've almost tripled, if not quadrupled, number of investigations we're doing.
Yes.
We're having monthly meetings that we're taking care of 60 to 80 cases per meeting. Your costs for having you here have gone up because we're having meetings every month.
Mm-hmm.
So, things are getting more expensive. The thing that I noticed was we were getting April, May of this year. It's a biannual renewal cycle for the administrators. We were getting close on cash. We almost didn't have enough cash in April.
April.
Okay. Right before the renewals started, it was getting to the point where I was, oh, geez, are we going to have enough cash for payroll? And that's a different issue than appropriation. So that's why I want to have a little more of a cushion there in the future.
Oh, absolutely.
So
I think we stated this before, but where do you investigative cost reimbursements go? Is that?
They go back into our fund. So this year, 58?
Let's see here.
Just under 60. So this year?
Yeah, just under.
Just under $60,000 we brought back as an investigative cost, which is supposed to be a reimbursement, meaning it's supposed to reimburse the fees that we've already expended for investigations.
So it's not subject to the 90-10?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't call it a fight. What would you call it?
I would say that.
I sent
an advocate for our board.
You're so nice. I sent a memo out in October last year to accounting, DOA, basically saying, I want to use these reimbursements this year for investigations, for contract investigators, and their view is that increases our appropriation, so they say that they can't do that. However, there's a statute on the books that allows executive directors to exercise this function of reimbursement. I haven't been able to get it done since October last year. I can't get accounting to hit the switch on the right code for us to use those funds the way they are originally intended. We're working on it. Mm-hmm. And that might bring up about a bigger discussion in the future about whether or not we should be even asking for, if we can't use a reimbursement.
Why ask for it?
So,
and that money should come back into this board.
Well, it's just been, part of this, I think, has been an education of the accounting folks about process of why we do what we do. But I haven't gotten them to fall in line and allow us to use that $60,000 for other stuff yet. Mm-hmm. Working on it. So,
interesting.
That's a good question. But that's a, do you remember what we had prior year?
The prior year was $19,600. So it's a huge increase.
Fees are, in many cases today exceeded $500.
Well, the right. Case is rolling through every month on the middle of the month, second week from Department of Health Services.
Yeah.
It's not worth it even if we have to do it. Because they don't not want to give us any of it.
They don't want to allow us to use any of it. We retain the money, but we can't use it unless it's appropriated. So
they're not counting it back against the appropriation.
Right.
Exactly. That's.
So what happens to it? What
does
it
get
used
for? It sits there and we don't use it. We don't use it to have another contract investigator here now.
And staff.
We have to wait until it's appropriated. Yes. So it goes to the plus in our cash account.
Right.
We just can't use it.
Could you use it to pay payroll?
Mm-hmm. No.
You can't use it for anything.
No.
That's the problem.
So
find a way to fix it.
We're trying. Yeah.
And it's getting closer.
It is.
It's getting closer.
We got to the right person, I think, now, but it's been wonderful. Yes. Mr. President, Members of the Board, I don't have anything else for the Executive Director's report unless there's questions or comments.
I will now go back to the Board President's report.
Okay.
And what I have to say.
Oh, no. No.
Is I appreciate everybody's attendance and the hard work that. We're really settling in as a new group. We're learning each other and learning about the good questions to ask and other questions that tend to lead us down blind alleys. So I think that it helps us to keep the focus. And I do want to note that Mr. Paris here is, I've worked with him for almost 20 years off and on with this board. And I just really appreciate having you here and for your guidance and leadership to the board.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
All right, unless there's any objection, we are adjourned.
I will not be here for all of this, for sure.
Okay.